The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday, September 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Americans are commemorating 9/11 with tributes that have been altered by coronavirus precautions and woven into the presidential campaign, drawing both President Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden to pay respects at the same memorial without crossing paths. In New York, a dispute over coronavirus safety precautions is leading to split-screen remembrances Friday, one at the September 11th Memorial Plaza at the World Trade Center and another on a nearby corner. The Pentagon's observance will be so restricted that not even victims' families can attend, though small groups can visit the memorial there later in the day. Trump and Biden are both headed at different times to Flight 93 National Memorial near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Trump is speaking at the morning ceremony, the White House said. Biden plans to pay respects there in the afternoon after attending the observance at the 9/11 Memorial in New York. Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence is also due at Ground Zero and then at the alternate ceremony a few blocks away. The Garden of Reflection will be hosting a drive-through ceremony in Lower Makefield Township, Bucks County. During the ride, visitors will be able to tune their car radios to hear speeches from 9/11 family members and clergy. Out of the nearly 3,000 people killed on September 11th, from the September 11th terror attacks, 18 of them lived in Bucks County. An HVAC employee is facing charges after authorities made a strange discovery inside the girls' bathroom of a Camden County school this week. Officials at Glen Landing Middle School say on September 9th they found mirrors installed on the stalls inside one of the bathrooms. Police say school officials became suspicious and suspected someone could be using the mirrors to peer into the stalls from an air conditioning vent above. According to the Gloucester Township Police Department, 51-year-old Gregory Melee of West Deptford is being charged with endangering the welfare of a child, invasion of privacy, and possession of child pornography. Gloucester Township Police Chief said that there were 12 by 12 mirrors in three different stalls and electronic devices were recovered. Melee was an eight-year employee of Multitemp Mechanical Incorporated located in Westville. The company was contracted by the Gloucester Township Board of Education to perform the HVAC services in the school. Police are still trying to find out if this man may have set up mirrors at other schools, and police are urging anyone who think that they might have been a victim to contact the Gloucester Township Police Department.
Could you imagine how chilling that would be to find out this was going on or that you might have been in there, one of these?
Right.
Come on.
Well, and if you're a parent,
you're
a kid at the school, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, absolutely horrifying. So they don't know. I mean, I'm assuming they're contacting some other schools that he may have worked in, but they are asking that if anybody thinks that they could have been. I mean, I would imagine they're going to get a lot of calls. It doesn't hurt. So if you you've gone to the bathroom in those schools, make sure you call. After more than two decades, the Roar to the Shore is canceled, not because of the pandemic, but rather the outlaw biker gang, the Pagans. Organizers of the event say the city denied permits for this year's event after the Pagans motorcycle gang held its national convention during the event last year. They did a walking parade down Atlantic Avenue as a group. There was a large contingent of outlaw bikers crying out Pagan Nation, and that was too much for the business community to grasp, said Roland Roy, an organizer for Roar to the Shore. Chad Lackey, the executive director of the New Jersey State Commission of Investigations, released a report this month detailing a string of violent incidents allegedly connected to the Pagans in recent years. The report includes the beating of a bar owner and a landlord in South Jersey.
They had been working on trying to get them to yell out Bachelor Nation, but they couldn't come to terms.
Where was this, Kath? Because I know that they used to try and do it down in Wildwood, and that was canceled.
Case, where's the Shamrock Bar? Do you know? Is that in Wildwood?
I don't know.
Because they're still going to host them this weekend. So they're saying even though the event was canceled, the Pagans are still going to go down this weekend. It says the Shamrock Bar is expected to host the Outlaw Gang. So I don't.
They're having a lovely brunch, I heard.
I'm not sure where that is.
Pagan brunch.
Lackey says this is
the hollandaise sauce is to die for.
Says the increasing violence is getting more brazen. The Commission of Investigations is recommending the New Jersey Attorney General's office create a task force to monitor and investigate the Pagans motorcycle gang to help small communities affected by them.
There were a number of bars I remember growing up on Long Island where...
Biker bar, right?
Yeah, like a couple of them. And so what would happen is the bars were used by the local like college kids and high school kids, but they knew that... For like a week or 2 week period, don't go there.
Oh yeah,
because the Pagans would come in and take control, and then they'd leave. And that was sort of the understanding. But it was so common.
Yep. It's Wildwood.
It is Wildwood.
Yeah, it's
the
Pacific Avenue Wildwood.
Yeah. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Chiefs opened the 2020 NFL regular season Thursday night against the Texans in Kansas City with fans in Arrowhead Stadium. Patrick Mahomes threw three touchdown passes and rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushed for 138 yards and a touchdown as the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Houston Texans 34-20. The Eagles open their season in Washington. They play the Washington football team on Sunday. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock.
It still cracks me up.
I know.
The Washington football team.
I had it listed as the Redskins. I was like, wait a minute. No.
Yeah.
The Phillies bullpen allowed four runs in the last two innings. And the Marlins came back for a 7-6 victory in last night's game. The loss was the Phillies' fourth in their last six games. They fell to 21-19 and slipped to three games behind first-place Atlanta. The Braves staged a late rally and won at Washington. The Phils play a doubleheader today in Miami. The first game is set for 5:10. The second game scheduled for 8:10. The NHL playoffs continue tonight with the Islanders hosting the Lightning at 8 o'clock. And in the NBA, the Clippers will look to close out their series with the Nuggets tonight at 6:30. And tip-off for Game 7 of the Raptors-Celtics series is at 9 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much. Welcome, dear friend. If you are on your way home from work, congratulations. You made it. The weekend is yours. And if not, if you're doing the opposite on the way in, few more hours to go, and there you, that's all you got. Your weekend is before you.
You're right. I don't care what scenario you deal with. The weekend is the weekend, and you can't take that away from it.
No, and as I've said before, Casey's brought me around to a beautiful thing that Thursday after work, it's already Friday.
Yeah, man.
Right. So therefore, as of right now, it's already the weekend, but it's not Saturday yet. I want my Friday.
No.
To enjoy the evening.
I think we discussed Friday is actually, Friday might be the most important day of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because you have the weekend ahead of you.
It's all wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had posed a question. I was surprised at the response that I got on what day is better, Friday or Sunday. I mean, for people who don't work on the weekend.
Not even close.
You don't even have to.
Sunday is Sunday is you're there. The priest has just talked to you and you're heading down to the electric chair.
Yeah. Sunday, you just think about all day having to go to work on Monday.
Right. Me anyway. Yeah. I'm in that camp too. Exactly.
Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
What's that?
The Sunday Scaries.
Sunday Scaries. I like it. But isn't Sunday Fun Day? That exists for you. It doesn't. Sunday's, right?
The Sunday Fun Day leads into the Sunday Scaries.
Okay. All right. That's
so like after the sun goes down.
Okay. I got you. All right. Well, listen, Casey, I want to start off on a positive note because sometimes Casey catches some guff on the text messages. This simply says, Casey boy, I love you.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I know. And
thank you, Mrs. Fosbender.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Grandma.
Who's Jay Bam Bam?
Actually, it might actually JBB. Be Jay
Bam. It might be Bam Bam.
But I do want to say thank you to, there's a guy named Rich Schofield from Mayfair. He sent me like the nicest email yesterday. He's like, I'm not looking for a shard out. Just want to let you know I think you rock. So, Rich, thank you for that. And then also a woman named Jessica Scrabut. I don't know. Jessica,
if she meant a lot to you, you'd learn her name.
Well, you're absolutely right. So how would you say it?
I have no idea. I think you're doing fine.
Anyway, she sent me a really, really nice email. And these emails mean a lot. And they usually come at the right exact time. So Jessica sent this to me. And she also wanted to give a shout out to her life partner, her soulmate, who I don't know his name. But anyway, that's for her soulmate.
Go. Right.
She wanted to give a shout out to him.
There you go.
By the way, if this were not 9/11, I would proclaim it Love Casey Boy Day.
Yes.
With all this love going around, we have a more important observation today, and obviously that is September 11th, and we will do our moment of silence later on in the program. We do have some other things planned today. We have some guests joining us. Matthew Broussard is going to be performing at Punchline tonight and Saturday, so they do this patio thing, which is really cool.
It is cool.
So we'll talk to Matthew a little bit later on, and our friends from Dunkin' Donuts have some an announcement to make as well. So we're going to talk to our friend Jennifer, who is from Dunkin', later on. I know you're excited about that. So A to Z, back to school, right? We're continuing on. We're in the letter S as we speak, so that will roll. If you want to follow along, WMMR.com keeps... keeps track of the songs. I'm sorry.
It what did it say?
It says Mrs. Clubfoot.
It's not Mrs. She was a nun. Sister Clubfoot.
Sister Clubfoot.
Sister Clubfoot, is you there?
This is why you need to listen to the show all the time.
You're hobbling.
So you will get the references. All right, anyhow, these things and more are taking place. We're going to break. Come back in a second. The Entertainment Report with a stupid question and giveaways is up next. Don't move.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, our assistant, Connor, also known as Moose, the Moose, found song number one. It's from a Russian group called Cerebro.
It has to be an X-Men reference, doesn't it?
It's got to be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyhow, from 2007.
I bet you it's awesome.
It looks like it says the Eurovision Song Contest. So, I guess maybe they were doing it in one of those, you know, Russia's Got Talent.
Your song was very good.
Type of thing. So, I don't know. All right. Thank you, Connor. Thanks, Moose. All right. So,
why don't you forget about Moose for a moment?
For a moment, if you would, please. So, let me see. Today's stupid question prize is a carload of passes for up to four people for the Jurassic Quest. And go ahead, Case.
Why don't you forget the Moose for a moment?
So here's an interesting question. What is the most expensive Disney film in the animated canon?
The most expensive Disney film in the animated canon, huh? Yeah.
I could. There's a lot that I could give you a little bit of a hint. Casey, would it be safe to say that this is maybe your all-time favorite Disney animated movie?
No.
Oh, never
it's
mind.
Not. I just prefer it over another one.
Okay. Well, you actually gave a little bit of a clue there.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. All right. There's a lot of birthdays today.
Let's go.
Going to go through these on Friday, September 11th. Harry Connick Jr. has a birthday today. Turns 53 years old. He's been here in our studio before.
Yeah, you know, there's always been different takes on Harry Connick Jr., you know, whether he can be a bit of a dick or whatever. He's always been really nice on our show. I like him as an actor, as a musician. He's super talented.
Yeah.
Way off.
Yeah, he's a good actor as well. Yeah, exactly. So he's 53 today. Brian De Palma.
Yes, great director.
The director has done a lot of great movies over the years, including some of the biggies, Scarface and The Untouchables.
I watched today a documentary about him, and he hung out, you know, obviously his peers are Steven Spielberg and George Lucas and Francis Ford Coppola. And nice group to be in.
It's wild to see pictures of them when they were in their
kids.
20s.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Hanging out together, shooting pool and stuff like that.
Right, right.
He's 80 today. So wow.
He was also at one point married to Nancy Allen, who was, of course, the bitchy girl in Carrie.
Yeah, in fact, he directed that.
Yep.
Christy McNichol. The actress is 58 today. Family was the show.
Family. I'm the patriarch of the family.
Uh-huh.
And Little Darlings.
I love that movie.
Oh, yes.
Tatum O'Neal.
And Amon DeSante.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ludacris has a birthday today. The rapper and the actor is 43. What has he acted in?
Fast and Furious. He's in the Fast and Furious films.
Yep. I don't watch the Fast and Furious.
I just saw him in something. Like, it was like a cameo role, and it was funny. What was it?
Little Darlings 2?
Oh,
no.
Oh, God, Kath.
I feel like it's something on Netflix.
It's ludicrous.
All right.
I'm going to look it up.
All right, look it up. He is 43 today. Moby, the musician. Oh, my God. Casey, this is Casey's version of Moby. I forgot about this. I haven't heard this in ages, man.
Being caught in the pouring rain. Jabba-jabba-jabba-jabba-jabba. Being caught in the pouring rain.
Case said he could write. He could write a hit. Like,
he's pretty spot on.
Yeah. He's 55. Johnny Buckland, who plays guitar for Coldplay, turns 43 years old today.
A shredder, right?
Oh, man, does he rip it apart.
Well, at the end of this song, there's a nice little shreddy part, which is why I'm playing it. But there aren't very many
It doesn't need to be.
No, it doesn't need to
plays
be.
What, he plays the way the music needs him to
it's
play.
It's not what it calls for, and therefore he... Listen, there are a lot of great guitar players who are not necessarily shredding players. They just they play wonderful chords and give it that beautiful sound. So he's 43 today. Another band from kind of the alt world, Richard Ashcroft, singer of The Verve. Is 49 years old.
Okay. Always talk
about
that band.
What was their song?
Yeah, were they Bittersweet Symphony? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love the story about them where the Rolling Stones gave them the credit for the song, like, just a year or two ago.
Yeah, they gave them...
After they gave them the money for using the sample.
Well, they gave them the money like 25 years later after the song came out.
I remember right when this tune came out. This was... loved it from the get-go. Beautiful sound.
The video is really, I think, cool. He's walking along.
I don't remember.
He's just walking along on a street, sort of bumping into people as he's moving along.
That's cool. 49 years old today, Richard Ashcroft. Now, from the classic rock world, Tommy Shaw of Styx. Always have liked Tommy Shaw.
I just listened to some Styx. You know, they had their place.
Oh, most definitely.
Absolutely.
I love Styx. In fact, I think I posted something on Twitter a few months back when Dennis DeYoung had posted a video of him singing. I'm like, I'm saying it. I like Styx. I'm a fan. I always have. I call crap for it because they were more of a girly rock band.
They were.
Because women liked them because they wrote love songs and things like that. But listen, there's some pretty anthemic things. Sweet Madam Blue?
That's love it.
That's an unbelievable piece of music. Yeah. It's fantastic. So, anyhow, Tommy Shaw, great singer and a good guitar player, too. He's 67. Also celebrating a birthday today is Mickey Hart of the Grateful Dead, who sat right here in the studio.
He did.
And he was a lot of fun.
He was.
Yeah, he was a...
You're not a massive Dead fan. I'm not a massive Dead fan, but I think we appreciate what they mean.
Yeah, I like the hits.
Yeah.
I like the hits, but when you start diving deep and especially into the... Listen, I went to see them live... I left at the intermission. I'm like, this is boring the living hell out of
Thanks!
You didn't take the right drugs.
Oh, yeah. And there were people that were, I mean, it was as if they were seeing their savior in front of them. And I mean, bowing down on the ground and being all serious. I'm like, you're out of your goddamn mind. But God bless you. So,
yeah.
Whatever. But Mickey was great. And I do appreciate the Grateful Dead. I'm just not a big fan. He is 77. E.G. Daly.
No, we had her in the studio.
Yep, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. She's Dottie, and she was the voice of Tommy Pickles and Rugrats. What I didn't know is she was the voice of Buttercup and the Powerpuff Girls, too.
She can do it all.
And she has a small part in a movie you and I love, which is Fandango, which is definitely worth seeing.
She's also in she's in Valley Girl.
Is she in Valley Girl?
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie. Yeah.
And
so
Better
long.
Off Dead, she's the lead singer of the band at the dance.
That's right. She's 59 today. Lola Falana.
Lola, legs, Lola.
Singer, dancer, actress. That's all it says here. I know the name. I just don't know anything about her.
Very Halle Berry-esque.
Okay. She is
very attractive.
78 today.
Oh, and from Camden, New Jersey.
Get out.
Yeah.
Okay. Happy birthday, Lola. Virginia Madsen. Great actress. Had a bit of a resurgence in Sideways. Came out of nowhere.
And she was Candyman as well, the original Candyman.
Yeah, that's right. She's 59 today. Amy Madigan, Field of Dreams, Uncle Buck, Carnival, and others. She is 70.
Married to Ed Harris, and she is...
Married to Ed Harris?
Yes, Amy Madigan. And she's also in one of my favorite movies of all time, Places in the Heart.
Why do I not know that? That they were married.
For 37 years they've been married.
And Ed Harris was in our studio one time.
Yeah.
That was pretty damn cool.
Quinky Dink? Yeah, he was great.
Not. All right, and the last birthday, love this gal, Taraji P. Henson.
Yes.
And it's a big birthday for her today. She is 50 years old. I just watched the other day, and I'd only seen parts of it, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It's nice.
It's
very
yeah.
heartfelt. And, you know, there are a lot of tender and sad moments in
it.
And it's a weird concept, most definitely.
Ages in reverse.
Yeah, but I did like it. It's odd, but nice. Hidden Figures, she's great in that, Hustle and Flow, and so on. She's 50 years old today.
If you haven't watched The Best of Enemies, I think it just came on recently.
I got started watching part of it, and I'm like, okay, I could sink my teeth into this. It looks great.
It's intense. It's a little crazy. I love Sam Rockwell, and she stars in it, and she's amazing. It's a true life story, too, and at the very end, they show footage.
No.
I'm just saying.
They show footage of the actual people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
How could you?
Yeah.
How could you?
Well, listen, she said at the end.
You just never know.
Exactly.
No. But,
no, he's a Klansman. She's obviously black, and it's in the 1960s, I think, early 60s, something like that. And they end up forging a relationship, and it's a really interesting concept.
So you kind of know what happens at the end.
All right, let's see if we can answer this question. What is the most expensive Disney film in the animated canon of their world? 215-263-WMR. It is Nikki. We're going to go to. Hey, Nikki.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Yo, Nikki. Do me a favor. Tell me the movie, please.
I woke up with a bad hair day this morning. I'm going to go with Tangled.
You are correct.
Oh.
Yep, hang on.
Tangled was the most expensive?
It cost $260 million to make, yeah.
What the hell did they spend that on?
Why?
Now, this may be me talking out my ass, but when it comes to animation, one of the hardest things to replicate is hair.
No. Really?
I have seen that, yes, because of how the way it moves and the way things are, and especially if it's hair in water, if it gets wet or something like that. I did read that it is very, very difficult to animate. If that has anything to do with the expense, I have no
idea. Maybe that was at the beginning of that, because now the stuff they can do is astonishing.
Yeah, but still, some things are harder than others.
Yeah. Oh, so, no, absolutely. So it was probably at the beginning of a lot of that. So that might be it. Who knows?
Google says the high cost of the film is thought to be because it's a combination of hand-drawn animation and flashy computer animation.
Really? There's a lot of hand-drawn animation.
Well, they hand-drew and animated the pubes.
Oh,
so, but the computer stuff.
I told you, hair.
Yeah.
Hair, man.
I didn't see that edit.
All right. But anyhow, it's a great movie. It's one of my favorites.
Better than Frozen.
Let's get into the entertainment report. Kim Kardashian is dispelling the long-standing rumors that she has an extra toe.
She has a club foot.
Wait, seriously?
Swear to God. 39-year-old took to Instagram stories to shut down the, quote, really wild speculation. She captioned the video, very baffling. In it, she counted out her five toes and explained that there is a part of her foot that when pushed down can look like an extra one.
So it's probably from pictures of her on the red carpet somewhere.
Jammed
where somebody
into
zoomed,
a shoe.
Yes,
yeah.
Somebody zoomed
like
into
one of those
her
super
foot.
Ass. She's got a little beefier feet, I think. So that
Does
could
she?
Happen, yeah.
Look, you even knew about her beefy feet.
Well, there's a picture she posted on Instagram of the foot where she counted out her toe. Like, that's not an overly feminine foot, would you say?
I think it's.
I thought it was John Madden.
I think it's funny, and I like that she addressed it.
All right. Well, she said, and I quote: "When I wear a shoe, it like smashes down right here, and in a picture, I don't know why it looks like a sixth toe." So that's what she had to say. She added, "I hope that answered my six toe question, because I only have five toes on each foot."
Have you ever seen the thing they do it all the time? They'll do it with, Casey, you've seen the videos on America's Funniest Home Videos where they get a grandma to sit there and they'll count her and say, you have 11 fingers.
Yes.
And they count in a special way that throws them off.
No, we used to go 1, 2, skip these 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
That's right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so 1, 2, skip these 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
That's wild.
It's because I say three.
Yeah.
Skip these three, and then I go to 4, 1, 2. I've only counted two.
Okay.
So that's, see how that worked?
Yeah.
Try it on your kids today.
I will.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, her son, has an extra toe on each foot.
That's pretty cool. Really?
Yeah.
I forgot what that's called.
I think they did go get the
Lost removed. Boys had that, too.
I think they did get it removed.
Really?
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
Can that throw your... I thought that gave you more support.
So, no, it had no... Like, it kind of was just hanging.
Superfluous toe. Okay.
Yeah, like it didn't have any movement or anything
hang
like that.
Toe.
There was that Phillies pitcher that had an extra pinky.
Yeah. On the middle of his forehead.
Yeah, his name Alfonso...
Ribeiro.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think it was deemed... I mean, it was deemed legal, but everybody questioned it.
That's illegal.
Hey, you! Finger. With the extra finger, that's illegal.
No, that's totally legal.
Cut it off!
But you also agreed to it being Carlton from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Alfonso Ribeiro is a baseball player with a pinky in the middle of his forehead.
Antonio Alfonseca.
Ah.
I said Ribeiro, and you were like, yeah, that's it.
Sorry, I went with that. Oh. Nick's not here for our Phillies knowledge today.
Yeah, by the way, Nick's out. I failed to mention that. All right, in other Kardashians news, it looks like Keeping Up with the Kardashians may not be gone forever. According to Page Six, Insider said that the family may be signing a big streaming deal.
Of course they are.
In the near future, even starting, Casey, their own media company.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Source added that the family is interested in signing a more lucrative streaming deal with one of the online giants such as Netflix, Apple, or Amazon.
That's what Casey said from the get-go.
One insider said that the family is interested in creating a show similar to Shark Tank. What?
Oh, I see. Where they sit there. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, you think of, look at all the businesses that those sharks have bought into. In other words, they sit there, and that's the show is predicated on that, but they've all legitimately invested in things that they thought were moneymakers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, most definitely.
Huh.
I mean, it's essentially they have a TV show to choose how they're going to make money.
To make them richer.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yep. Yep. Katie Holmes made headlines after she was photographed in full makeout mode with Chef Emilio Vitolo Jr. of the celebrity sprinkled Nolita hotspot Emilio's Bellato. But it seems that their happiness comes at a cost. According to reports, Vitolo dumped his fiance of 18 months over text just hours before photos of him and Holmes went public. Mm. His former fiance, Rachel Emmons, still has photos of them together all over her social media.
So the makeout pictures that we saw were posted just hours after he broke up with his ex?
That's the word. When he broke
up, that's a dick move.
When he broke up with her, he didn't mention his new romance. An insider told the Daily Mail, up to this press coming out, Rachel had no idea what was going on. He is a cheater, and this isn't a happy ending story.
Hey, excuse me, Holmes.
At first, many saw it as just that for Holmes, who broke up with longtime love Jamie Foxx last year and was married to Tom Cruise previously. Vitolo and Emmons had concrete wedding plans, and she's reportedly horrified that their breakup has been so public. As for Holmes, the friend noted, nobody really knows if Katie was aware he was with Rachel. If she did, it's a bad example to set for her daughter. Some of her observers also smell a rat, noting that Vitolo's well-known obsession with Hollywood, having posted shots with Joe Jonas, Michael K. Williams, Lenny Kravitz, Bella Hadid, Barack Obama, Cuba Gooding Jr., Jimmy Fallon, Keegan-Michael Key, and others. So they think maybe he's just doing this.
A star effort?
Yeah, something like that. Don't really know. This was sad news that broke late yesterday in our show. English star Diana Rigg has died. She was 82 years old. Best known for her TV role in The Avengers.
People get confused, by the way. There wasn't a show about it. It was in the big spy explosion early on. There was a show that goes back a long time. It was in black and white. It was with actually Honor Blackman played the first female lead. And Patrick McNee was John Steed. And they were spies, mm-hmm. and they were called the Avengers.
Right.
Yeah.
Was she Emma Peel?
She was Emma Peel.
Yeah, and she was the second one?
The second one. They were both judo experts, and Emma Peel always wore like a leather, like a cat suit
Real
sort
tight.
Of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would be an honor to get your ass kicked by Diana.
In fact, they made a film, a remake.
Not good.
Yeah, but I was going to say who starred in it.
Uma Thurman and Ray Fiennes.
Ray Fiennes, yeah. So
Uma?
Yeah. Now, she was also in Game of Thrones. She played the Queen of Thorns.
How was she?
She was great.
Yeah.
She was imposing, very intimidating character. In the film as Tracy Bond in Honor Majesty's Secret Service. She also earned a Tony for her title starring role in 1992's Madea.
That's where the large African-American woman?
Yeah, that was her. No. And in 1987, staging of Stephen Sondheim's musical Follies. She died peacefully early this morning, her agent said. She was at home with her family, who have asked for privacy during this time.
So she is the only, the wife of James Bond, the only woman to ever marry James Bond.
She, in real life, was married twice to the Israeli painter Menachem Gufen from 1973 to 76, and to theater producer Archibald Sterling from 82 to 90. She had a daughter, Rachel Sterling. And with Sterling, who is a two-time Olivier Award-nominated actress. By the way, she was diagnosed with cancer back in March. I don't know what kind in the report.
Okay, okay. I love her, man. I just years and years of great entertainment.
That's sad. Let's see. This is sad, too. Chuck Norris is not excited to see that a company is using his masculinity.
Someone's using his masculinity?
to sell, as TMZ puts it, boner pills.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
For a new suit obtained by the site. The Walker, Texas Ranger star, is suing a company that appears to go by a different name, or a couple different names.
Walker told me I have AIDS.
Biomolecular Solutions and Biogenetics. For using his name to promote a Viagra-like drug named Provitra.
It's time to get a boner and rip someone's throat out.
Norris claims his wife, Gina, who is also suing, discovered the scam in June when she saw an ad headline that said a tragic end today for Chuck Norris.
You know what? We've talked about these clickbait ads that drive us crazy.
So when you click on it, the reader is taken to a site that appears to show a Fox News article with the headline, Big Pharma in Outrage Over Norris's New ED Product. Chuck kicks back with this. And then the fake article features a photo of the pair and includes false claims such as he revealed his new erectile dysfunction cure on the Dr. Phil show. So
I'm going to show you how to karate chop flaccid penises.
It's not legit, and they are suing because
is your boner missing in action?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, the Kevin Spacey stuff has resurfaced. Two men have filed civil lawsuits against him, accusing the two-time Oscar winner of sexually assaulting them when they were teenagers. And you know Anthony Rapp is one of them. You know him. He's a great actor.
He is really good.
And another actor identified only by the initials C.D. Both said they endured psychological damage and abuse from Spacey during the 1980s before he became a well-known Hollywood star.
So it sort of seemed that he was coming out of the weeds, so to speak, on this, that there was a talk of him getting a couple of acting roles, and now this is back in the news.
And the stories between the two of them, Anthony Rapp and this guy CD, are very similar. By the way, the attorney in the suit said cites the New York's Child Victims Act, which extends the state's statute of limitations for child sex abuse. And under that law, child victims of sex abuse can take legal action for the crimes until the age of 55.
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. You're traumatized.
Yes. You push that
down
and repress it is what I'm looking for. So, they have that statute of limitations caveat there.
I wonder how this all finishes with him, all this stuff. I'd be curious to see.
Saturday Night Live will return this fall live on NBC. Full production details, including safety measures, are being kept under wraps for now. The show will go on Saturday, October 3rd, so that is the date.
I wonder, so we'll see what they do audience-wise. They could probably have some people. I was weird because I was watching, Preston, the Jerry Springer Judge show.
Yes, I haven't seen it yet.
They've clearly, post-pandemic, they continued doing the show. But they've been chroma keying and green screening, like Jerry, the bench and everything behind him, the plaintiff and the defendant there.
Really?
And you can tell that they've worked out something, but it's I'd be curious to see how they handle the SNL stuff. Because honestly, the live from home stuff that they were doing, it was okay, but
it got better. Yeah. It was like, you know, in the beginning, I thought it was fairly... It was just weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, we're just so used. We're used to decades of the other way.
Right.
Yeah.
Steve, Marissa has pulled up video of the Judge Jerry show.
You see what I'm saying?
It's interesting. That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's better than shots of them at home.
Yeah.
You know, with their potted plants behind them and a cat crawling up on the table. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
It looks like an SNL sketch.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, it does.
You're right.
Of a judge show.
All right, Alec and Hilaria Baldwin unveiled the name of their fifth child yesterday, and it is not Leonardo.
Oh.
Because they already, or not Leonardo, no, Donatello.
Donatello.
Because they already have Raphael, Leonardo, Romeo, and Steve said, well, where's Donatello?
And Splinter.
So, they went with Eduardo.
Eduardo.
Eduardo Paulucas Baldwin.
What is Hilaria's... lineage?
I don't know.
I wonder because if these names are as a result of her heritage.
They do have some Latin-based names, it seems here.
She's from Mallorca.
Excuse me?
She's from Mallorca, Spain.
Spain.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
which
there you go.
My killer whale.
Eduardo Paulucas Baldwin, and he weighed 7 pounds, 8 ounces. And his name means wealthy guardian of peace and light.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, the best, she's had a couple of those,
you know, bad experiences with miscarriages, and this is,
yeah.
I'm glad it all
she
worked
also
out.
Has five, I don't know. Five kids. That's too many, man.
That's a lot.
And she's
that's
a year many. Younger
You know
than
what,
me.
Though? Yeah. If they're making nice kids, and by all means, you know.
By the way, the name being Wealthy Guardian of Peace and Light, I remember, you know, we never looked that stuff up before we were going to name my kids, and I went, oh, I wonder what the, you know, my kids' names mean. So Parker means Keeper of the Park, and Carter means Guy Who Pushes a Cart.
Stop it.
Well, listen.
Really? Well, it makes sense.
It's yeah. very
it
simple.
Used to be, that's like, you know, yeah. the name Smith came from being a blacksmith, you yeah. know? So yeah. there you go. I was like, okay, I'm the Carter.
Yeah.
I push the cart around.
My name is Bunghole.
I don't know what Preston. I have no idea what.
Yeah, check that.
You press tons of things.
Maybe. Name meaning Preston. It is priest plus ton. Enclosure.
A weightlifting priest.
Wait, that's very cryptic.
You're a weightlifting priest.
I don't know. I don't have time for this.
Well,
I don't know
go.
What the hell you want from me. Preston's got to go.
Preston's got to go.
Caroline's is pretty cool. It's a free woman, beloved and valuable.
What is Stephen?
Let's see.
That's my actual
with P-H.
Name. Stephen. Yeah. I know that Morrison, my last name, is Mary's son.
Oh, Preston means from the priest's town. Okay.
Who pushes a cart?
Yeah.
Yours, Stephen, is reward, honor, renown, fame.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Renown, fame.
That's pretty cool.
Honor.
Yeah.
I love it. Casey
say
means,
anything about Batman?
Ooh, Casey.
What?
Yeah. Casey means vigilant in war.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, you bad son of a bitch. You're just like Rambo. Vigilant in war.
There's some things you can't even imagine. But the worst thing I ever saw was a thermostat.
We should spend more time on this later on, but here, hang on. Here, okay, do you want to know what Kathy means?
Yeah. It's Kathy, not Catherine, right?
This is perfect.
It's Kathleen, and if it's the same as Kathleen, it would be perfect.
It means pure.
Pure?
Oh, my God.
As the driven Thank snow. You.
That's not too far from
I
the...
Know.
You
yeah,
know
I
know mean, my mom. Yeah. You know my mom looked that up, and she's yeah, like, yeah. Kathleen, yeah. it is.
Prude.
Keep prude. Pure. As the driven snow.
And pure. Pure and prude.
Hang on. She looked up Kathy, not your actual given name.
No, what, yeah. it is.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
Same thing.
And Marissa... is wait you spelled it with two s's
no I put it down here I was going to see if that meant the same thing
okay where is it
yeah same
thing. The name Marissa means of the sea or bitter
oh wow.
Well, we have someone like Kathy so pure around here of course
uh-huh. Interesting all right anyhow their What's child's that? Name means wealthy guardian of peace and light. Okay. One more quick story, and then we're going to move along to various other things. I thought this was nice, Steve. The Muscular Dystrophy Association set to relaunch its signature event, the Jerry Lewis MDA Telethon.
Yes.
Kevin Hart will be the host.
Wow. Great choice.
Yes. The event has
Since they boned him out of the Oscars.
It's been renamed the MDA Kevin Hart Kids Telethon and will air globally on October 24th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So they're not going to do it on Labor Day weekend. It's going to be a different time.
Good. So they're trying to put a new face on it. I don't think you could do better than Kevin Hart. Everyone loves Kevin Hart. Like Raymond.
Streaming partners will be announced. Hart will be joined by, celebrity guests including Jack Black, Usain Bolt, Josh Gad, Michael B. Jordan, Eva Longoria,
Kevin Spacey,
Jillian Mercado, and others. And donations will also go to the Help from the Hart which supports community-based organizations that address the educational, health, and social needs of underserved communities.
I think good I'm speaking on him. For both of us, some of the most moving and inspiring things we did is going to the MDA camp, Preston.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Absolutely.
We went a couple times. Those kids were amazing.
Yeah, they were. Absolutely. All right, so new movies are opening this weekend. Yeah, I know.
Like actual theaters.
All right. Opening this weekend.
I can't help why it cracks me the F up.
The Broken Hearts Gallery is a comedy slash romance film. Stars Geraldine Viswanathan. I don't know how you say his name. Dacre Montgomery.
Yes.
D-A-C-R-E. He is the jerk brother from Stranger Things with the mullet.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That guy. Yeah. He was great.
He
on
was
that show.
Excellent. Yeah. And if you haven't seen his the last season, as with the most interesting characters, he has a turn that's really cool.
So what if you saved a souvenir from every relationship you ever have been in? The Broken Hearts Gallery follows the always unique Lucy, a 20-something art gallery assistant living in New York City who also happens to be an emotional hoarder. It is rated PG, 108 minutes, and it got a 76% score on Rotten Tomatoes so far. It's in wide release today, by the way. Next clip or next movie opening is I Am Woman. It's a drama starring Tilda Cobham Harvey and Evan Peters. In 1966, single mother Helen Reddy leaves her old life in Australia for New York and stardom, only to find that the industry's male gatekeepers don't take her seriously. Helen finds an encouraging friend in legendary rock journalist Lillian Roxon, who becomes her closest confidant.
I think this might be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because she came out of nowhere and had a massive hit with I Am Woman.
116 minutes, and it is scored with a 74% on Rotten Tomatoes so far. All right, and then we also have clips to mention, so we'll go with these. TV series Love Fraud follows the search of internet stalker Richard Scott Smith as his victims seek vengeance on him. And in this clip, director Rachel Grady talks about what stood out to her the most while making the show. Here we go.
We've made films for 20 years. We've never done anything like this. So just that in itself was unusual and new to us. But also just following a completely chaotic and crazy person was also crazy making. The people that we ended up meeting were always a big surprise.
Shut the f*** up!
The next episode of Love Fraud is Sunday at 9 on Showtime. Here's the next one. Hope and humanity are two centralized themes of Netflix's TV series Away, starring Hilary Swank as an astronaut on a voyage to Mars. In this clip, Hilary discusses her experience wearing a spacesuit while filming.
It takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of effort to make it look effortless. The spacesuits weighed approximately 30 pounds, and so it was always a physical workout at the same time. But to put on an iconic spacesuit, you just realize what heroes these astronauts are, you know, that they are risking their lives all the time.
They come from space, but they don't come from here.
All right, Away is available to watch on Netflix now. And that is what I got for you in our entertainment roundup this morning.
Well done.
Thank you very much, sir. I do appreciate it. We're going to have comedian Matthew Broussard joining us this morning. And, of course, we continue the A to School Home, the A to Z Homeschool Edition on MMR. We are in the S's. We'll get music from that category when we return. Stay put. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble.
Can't find another reason why this one hurts.
Celebrating our area's best talent,
bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community.
Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We got into a spontaneous conversation a moment ago. We were talking about the Baldwins.
Right, they named Alec their kids after the
Turtles.
Ninja Turtles.
Yes, yeah. So Hilaria Baldwin and Alec Baldwin had another baby, and their child's name meant... I forgot. I threw the story away, but it was some big, you know,
space dwarf,
something like that. No, I'd have to dig the story back.
It was actually very nice. It was a keeper of light, something like that. Peaceful.
Yeah, something like that.
The Dark Knight. Yes. The Cape Crusader
rises.
Yeah,
right. And then we went through the meaning behind all of our names. Kathy means pure.
Pure.
It's perfect.
And that actually does work out because
sure does.
She uses so many Clorox wipes.
Casey has the best, though.
Yeah.
You know, vigilant in war is what his means.
But, like, Casey. I'm the biggest.
Did you see the sub-explanation, though?
No.
The Runaway Club.
Really?
Yeah. Running Away Club.
Yeah.
No, and it's Irish in nature, and so it means from that.
And mine
that
was
lineage.
Some celebrity or something like that.
What was yours? Yours was pretty good too.
Bald.
had a couple different meanings to
yeah.
it. We left out Nick's. Nick is out today, so we didn't do it. Should we look his up real quick?
Why not?
Steve, reward, honor, fame.
Reward, Nick, honor, fame.
Nick is Nicholas, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I assume.
But it's spelled...
with an H.
It's just spelled N-I-C-H. N-I-C-H.
Victory of the people.
O-L-A-S.
Victory of the people.
Of the people?
That's kind of lame.
Well, it's just like...
standard.
Okay.
Lunch.
Yeah. No, I think it's cool, but it's interesting how the hell does Nicholas mean victory of the people? I don't know.
I don't know.
A lot of these are the Greek meaning.
Okay.
Oh,
I gotcha. All right.
Well, we're all Greek.
Speaking of names, I have a couple of name stories here, and they have to do with names dropping off in popularity. And not much of a surprise, but the baby named Karen is dropping off in popularity.
Oh, it's funny. There's a Twitter person that I follow, and she follows me back, and she's a listener of the show. And her name is Karen dot dot dot. Not that Karen.
No, I love it.
That's great.
I love it.
But I don't see Karen as a baby name. Are there a lot of babies named Karen?
Well,
right.
They have to start off.
Somebody has to. Yeah.
That dropped off years
ago.
Oh,
you mean nowadays? You don't see any babies.
Like Karen.
They've probably been. Yeah. Kathy's right. They're probably a bit on falling into that pre-old sounding name.
Okay, well, so
it hasn't fallen. It was already fairly low. It went from the 637th most popular name for girls in 2018 to 660th. So
okay, so these are okay. These are names that are already dropping out. I was thinking they were like the popular names that we know that are now gone.
And those are still up there, and I'll give you that in a moment.
Yeah, Pancake and I recently had a conversation where he recounted talking to his daughter, who's what, in second grade, third grade? And she asked, what's the deal with Karen? Like, she didn't comprehend what it is because she has a Karen in her class.
Oh, so there's one. There's
so,
a young Karen.
You know, there's a second or third grader with the name Karen.
All right, so the popular names for girls, and I'm going to go through mainly, a lot of times we focus on the most popular names. I'm going to go on the ones that are dropping off, that are dropping in popularity.
Loser names.
But the names that are still popular for girls, and that's all that I have, are Olivia, Emma, Ava, Sophia, and Isabella.
They're dropping off.
No, they remain popular.
Yeah, my niece is Olivia.
Yeah, we had like... four Olivias in our neighborhood.
Yeah. Us too.
Olivia's a beautiful name.
It is.
It usually conjures, it's like Brittany. Olivia tends to be
hot.
Pretty, yes.
Well, and Sophia, Sophia was like an older name. It was an, you know, you thought of that as like a grandma name, and now
both
it's very popular.
Spellings, Kathy, with that. I've seen Sophia, S-O-F-I-A, and S-O-P-H-I-A. What is the delineation between those two?
I think the F is, that might be the Greek spelling.
All right, look that up.
I wonder if Emma's still popular because of Friends and the resurgence of that show.
What was Emma on Friends? I don't know.
Ross and Rachel's daughter.
Okay.
Was Friends.
By the way, all these names end with A, which is the standard feminine, is at least in Spanish and
Anaconda.
They end in the feminine is ending in A. So, did you find Sophia, Kathy?
I found the meaning. Hold on, I'm looking.
What does it mean?
Willing to give it up.
Lays on sofa.
I mean, when you went through all those names, Press, the ones that are still top of the top, like, I'm like, yeah, like, there are, in my kids' classes, like, yes, every single one of those names is represented each of my kids' classes.
PH is the American version of Sophia.
Okay. All right. And what does it mean?
Hold on, I got out of
there. Fan of the Golden Girls.
Stop. I was like, thank you, yes.
So anyhow, those are still up there. Olivia, you know what Emma, Ava, Sophia, and Isabella.
What I like about Isabella is you can get a couple of different nicknames out of it. I prefer Izzy over Bella, but...
I think Bella would be the...
Bella is the go-to, but when I
very,
hear...
Twilight.
Well, Sophia ends up Sophie, right?
No, that's separate. That's a different name.
Is it?
I would say Soph.
But as a nickname, you know, hey, Sophie.
Well, I mean, at least the kids that I know are Sophia and then Sophie. Like, Sophie isn't the nickname for Sophia. It's just a completely different name. But Sophia means wisdom.
Ah, okay. Wow. That's cool.
Okay. All right. So Cosmo compared some of the most common names in 1996 as far back as detailed government data on baby names. This is in England, okay?
England.
It's not way different than us, but we can look these up too in America. With the number of times they were given to babies born in 2019, the most recent data set that they have. And some 90s names, it seems, have gone sorely out of fashion. Boys' names at risk of going extinct are Craig at a 97% drop.
I always like the name Craig.
Scott.
Craig is also the equivalent of Karen for guys sometimes.
It is?
Yeah.
I actually saw
Kyle is more
Kyle. Kyle. I've seen Kyle used as a male Karen.
We use Chad.
Chad.
Chad like as well. That. Chad as well, yeah.
Chad's like the guy in a, you know, a polo, collared shirt.
Totally. And,
we're just ruining it.
I'm outraged. Where is the manager? Then you have Scott, that dropped by 96%. Kieran, which is odd. I'd see that as a...
Kieran's a cool go-to name, I think.
I don't know many Kierans to begin with.
I know Kieran Culkin.
We know a female, a girl named Kieran. Huh. So
is it just somebody mispronouncing Karen?
Karen, yeah. I think Karen, get
Karen,
over here.
You're Karen.
We can't stand this.
Yeah, my name is Carol Channing.
Carol Baskin would say Kieran.
Kieran.
Yeah.
Hi, Kieran.
You know what? I realized that I had an old lady's name when we had a comedian in, and I forget who he was. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, but I remember vaguely that moment.
Yeah, and he said, I remember the girl had an old lady name, and I was like, do I have an old lady name? And ever since then, I've been thinking, I mean, there really are no kids named Kathleen.
Right.
I mean, maybe Catherine they go with, but not Kathleen.
Were you ever known as Kat as a nickname? Did anybody ever call you that?
No. If it was a nickname, it was Kath, T-H.
Yeah.
Kitten with a whip.
But Kat is a Kathleen nickname, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have Jordan as a drop, as a boy's name.
It's funny how these things fall out of favor. A lot of times a name will be associated with somebody who's done sort of something nefarious.
Yeah.
But Jordan seems totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Are there people still named Adolf, like, to this day that they will give
listen,
that
that's
name
a
to?
Tough, that's a tough one, right?
It is.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know, maybe there are.
No, there are, and they're usually, like, probably, I don't want to say
usually. Maniacs.
Yeah.
Do you think that a name can cause someone to go bad?
That's a good question.
I think there can be a bit of an... If you named your kid Adolf Hitler, you know, you're probably going to have some issues.
But there are, like, white supremacists out there that will name their child Adolf.
There was a Cheers episode where Carla, apparently somebody in their family, it is a requirement that at one point have to name their child Benito Mussolini.
Well, no, it has to be the first name of one family member matched with the last name.
Is that
of
what it was?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one of her sons comes up and goes, I'll be Benito Mussolini.
They said Adolf is just, it's, I mean, obviously we know it's rare, but I was trying to look for, official records show that only 13 children were named Adolf between 2006 and 2013.
Wow. Okay. Then, yeah, it's next to nothing. All right. So Jordan is one that's dropped off. Did I already say that?
Yes.
I like that name.
Yeah.
Sean. I always like the name Sean.
Sean is a great name. Obviously, I'm a massive fan. I'm a Sean Connery fan.
Now, it's spelled S-H-A-U-N here.
Mm. Okay.
Most of the Seans I know are S-E-A-N.
Yeah. Right. C-N.
C-N. Ashley, which, of course, you remember from Gone with the Wind.
Yes.
Ashley.
Ashley can be a man's name as well.
That these are men's names.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so as boys, the name Ashley is dropping off. Then you have Shane. Always dug that name.
Greg Monahan's son's name is Shane.
Shane is a great name, and Shane is one, you know, one of the great Western heroes. Yeah.
Shane,
come back,
come
Shane.
Back. So that has dropped off by 93%.
What about Euripides?
Keep in mind these are in the UK. Sean is another one spelled S-E-A-N. Oh, so that's the other Sean.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you have Connor.
Connor.
I have a nephew named Connor.
Connor's a great name.
We have a Connor right in our studio right now.
A.K.A. Moose.
Yeah. Moose.
Why don't you forget about him? Yeah.
All right.
Moose.
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
And then the last one that I saw, and I guess I've rarely heard this name, Callum.
Nah, never.
C-A-L-L-U-M.
I've heard it. So this, you said this is from England, obviously.
It is.
So you also have a Celtic exposure.
Yeah.
And a Scottish exposure.
Whereas, since you're sitting in Nick's chair, can you look
sniff
up
it.
Least popular or...
It's broken, if you guys are curious. I almost fell off of it.
Get a little sniff real quick.
Names going out of favor in America or something along those lines. I would like to see a comparison
if they're
similar.
There's probably some crossover, but I think there are names that are more... Like Ashley, I don't think you would find much in the United States for a... for a you know, a boy.
Then you have Andrew, Dean, Matthew, Curtis. That's my uncle's name. I always liked that name, Curtis. And Bradley, all dropping off. So
Bradley, really?
Yeah, yeah. All right, now for the girls' names, most at risk of going extinct. Number one, and by the way, I'm going from the top down.
All right. That's the way I like it.
I know, Bill. Christy, K-R-I-S-T-Y.
Okay.
I've seen K-R-S-T-Y, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, C-R-I-S-T-Y.
I like Christy. Christy is Anna Faris's name on the show, Mom.
That's okay. Kirstie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You liar.
I lied.
You are a liar.
Kirstie, as in Kirstie Alley.
I like Kirstie
Alley.
That's
what's on the list?
Yeah. Okay. It's the number one name, female name, at risk of going extinct. Then you have Shannon.
Shannon's a great name.
Known a couple of Shannons. Haven't met or heard that name Shannon in
a
while.
What about our original calendar girl, Shannon?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Shannon Grasso.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, is it Gemma or Gemma?
Gemma.
I say Gemma.
Gemma, G-E-M-M-A.
I like that name a lot. That doesn't seem...
It was popular
for a little while.
Gemma Atherton? Is that her name? The actress? Yeah.
I mean, that's really
is
what
Is it Gemma?
You,
it's not Gemma. It can't be Gemma, right?
Well, no, it's Gemma.
Not. Probably not.
All right. Ask Siri, Preston.
No, I was going to look up. There's a Gemma from Game of Thrones that I follow, and I forgot her last name, and I wanted to look it up real quick.
While you do that, I just...
Is it Ginger or Ginger?
Ginger. No. Ginger.
Oh, Gemma Whelan, who played one of the Greyjoys. Anyway, she's now, very cool.
What I think you need, for a name like Gemma or Gemma, however, like you just need... somebody like on a Disney Channel show or something like that.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
To spark it?
To spark that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Huh.
Then they have Jody had a 98% drop.
My sister's I or Y.
Name. Yeah.
I-E.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
Your sister's name is Jody?
Yeah, but she just spells it with an I.
Okay. J-O-D-I.
Just one I? No other letters?
No, yeah. Yeah.
Jody can also be a boy's name. Remember Buffy and Jody?
Absolutely.
Family affair?
Absolutely.
Back in the day. Lauren. We know lots of Laurens.
Yeah, but it's older. It's like, I'm thinking of like babies that are born.
No, don't tell
like,
Lauren oh, Harris
baby
that.
Lauren.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, because that's what it means. It says here that 6,299 baby girls born in 1996 were named Lauren, but just 93 were given the name in 2019.
Yeah.
So it was very popular a few years back, 20 some odd years back. Then you have Danielle. I know tons of Danielles, but I guess it's not a popular baby name right now.
So a lot of times stuff, pop culture will determine the trends, you know?
Yeah, like Casey was saying.
Right,
you know, you get somebody on the
Disney Channel.
Disney Channel that's fun and
or
perky.
Or Pornhub.
Or
No, that's not usually how it goes.
Norma.
Norma
Stitz.
This is our daughter, Norma Stitz. And you, of course, you know Peter North.
Peter.
Watch your face.
Yeah.
Don't get too close.
We found out when we were changing his diapers. Kid's got some range.
Yes. Oh, dear Lord. Then you have...
imagine naming your daughter Norma Stitz.
Leanne has had a 97% drop-off.
Oh, that's Chuck's wife's name.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a name I like. I drank her breast milk, for Christ's sake.
How about this, Steve? Your dog, Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Has had a 97%.
We spell it differently. C-H-E-L-S-Y, but okay. The C-H-E-L-S-E-A.
Correct. That's the one.
Right.
I always think of Steel Magnolias. Chelsea.
Yeah.
When I hear that name, Chelsea.
I always liked that name.
Yeah, I like it too.
Steel Magnolias.
Jade has had a big drop off. I don't know any Jades.
Yeah, Bill Weston's daughter.
Her
yes.
Name is Jade?
Yep.
Do you know that she's like doing really well in like the electronica and all that stuff. She's like a DJ. She's killing it.
That's her career.
Yeah.
Is it like a club DJ.
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember she was the harp player,
the harp,
right?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
She went from harp to club DJ.
Yeah. Rhiannon has had a drop off.
Fleetwood Mac. It's got to be right. That's got to be an influence.
Well, I would imagine yes. That's when the popularity really took off.
But like, dude, how many Rhiannons do you guys know?
I don't know.
Well, my neighbor's daughter is Rhiannon, and his son is You Can Go Your Own Way.
You're just so dumb.
You are so dumb.
Steven also means so dumb.
So dumb.
You an idiot.
11 is Samantha.
had a Samantha.
97% drop off.
Be quiet. You're going to make my souffle fall.
Then you had Ashley for girls, which was also on the boys list, too. Big drop off. Amy. Yeah, not many girls. Young babies that I know named Amy.
Amy.
Then you have Rebecca.
Schmutz.
Schmutz. Schmutzy.
Becky.
Rebecca is Becca. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or Becky. Or Becky.
Becky. Yeah. Becky's kind of a.
Some people hate being called Becky that are named Rebecca.
Is Becky like a Karen?
Yes. Kind of, because I've used that before, and I think it comes from Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh,
Becky.
My God, Becky.
Look at
Becky with the.
Becky with
the red
hair?
Dress on?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Becky with the good hair.
Is it Becky with the good hair?
Is it?
In the.
I thought it was a different. Is it Becky?
Yeah. Isn't it? With the,
I don't remember.
The Jay-Z song.
I remember that moment in time, but I don't remember the specifics of it.
Yeah.
Is it Becky?
Becky with the good hair.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Which is the girl that Jay-Z cheated on.
Right. Or cheated on. Cheated with. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Becky with the good hair.
And so that comes from Rebecca.
Yeah.
And then Megan is number 15 on this list with a 94% drop. Names that are in fear of going extinct. I don't think they'll go extinct altogether, but they come and go, you know. But of these, you know, the nicknames I find kind of interesting. Because, like, Ashley would be Ash, and Samantha can be Sam, and
Squat.
Sammy as well. What?
So, Rebecca is Nick Murphy's wife's name, and I guess when she was growing up, everybody called her Becky. And now she is a woman, and her family still calls her Becky, and she can't stand it.
My brother was very adamant, so he's Thomas, Tom, but never Tommy.
Never Tommy,
no,
okay.
Never.
I find the ones that are the most picky about it are the Andreas. Andrea, and then there's another one, I think, that you can say. Andrea.
Right.
Andrea, and Andrea.
Yeah, but those aren't...
Andrea.
Those aren't nicknames. That's just the way you pronounce the name.
No, I'm talking about pronunciation.
Yeah,
very,
yeah.
Very picky about it, because the only time I can take Press or Preston, either one is fine. I answer doesn't... You know, in fact, Press is a little more personal. You know, if I know you better, it's probably you call me Press. But when I was a kid, some used to call me Prest with a T on the end of it. I'd punch him in the face.
Well, it's like, for some people, it's Normastit.
Yeah.
Or Normastit.
Normastit.
You know, my cousin is Katie, and she hates Kate. Like, if someone's like, hey, Kate, she's
no kidding.
That's not my name.
So,
like, since we were kids, and still to this day, in her 40s, she's like, don't call me that.
Do you subscribe to the notion that, I mean, you have to name a child, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, they have to have a name applied to them. But if your kid came to you and said, my friend was named Rocco for years ago, a friend I had for many years. Rocco was his name.
Mm-hmm.
He changed his name to Nick. He could not stand
oh my God,
the name.
Really?
He hated the name his parents gave him and changed his name arbitrarily
to
Nicholas.
To what age? At what age did he change it?
He was like 12, 13. He hated it.
So this is the sign of the times, as it is right now. So there are three different people in my kids' friends' groups that have changed their names because of gender identity. So they from a girl, actually four, from a girl's name to a boy's name.
Right.
And so we have adapted, and we are honoring their wishes. And we call them by the name they prefer to be called at. Now, as a parent... That's a little hard transition to make.
Like, I didn't name you that.
I know, but you have to be open to it.
Sure.
And so, or at least we are. I think it's...
How do the parents do with it?
This is Norman Stitz.
But listen, Steve, in every example that it's occurred in our relationships, it's not, you know, Steve going to Stephanie.
Right.
It's
a full,
one
fully different name?
Completely different personality. And so the parents that we have met that have had this occur, it's been we've seen only one example that can I speak on personally that they do it. They go back and forth between the two.
Okay.
And they're making this slow transition because it's hard as a parent. So but that's a whole other.
No. But I've also to that point, I've also heard and I've heard a lot of people who are gender fluid or they extend the accommodation, like I that they get,
right,
that sometimes you're going to forget,
right,
and that if you can play nicely on both sides, everyone will be happy.
Like the people close to them have to go through the transition as well. To
Norman.
Yeah.
Right. But going back to your nickname as it applies to your given name, like Kate, Katie, Catherine, and all that. Like I ruined because sometimes people like Nick Murphy's wife, they associate Becky with like a little, you know, that's a little girl's name,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
And Pippi? And so when I had moved into my neighborhood, my neighbor I actually knew from growing up, and her I always knew her as Christy.
Yeah.
I had no idea that she was trying to shred that or shed that and move on to Kristen, which was her given name.
Right.
And I ruined it. Like, I single-handedly ruined her transition into being called Kristen, because I kept calling her Christy and to the other neighbors and everything as well.
Well,
I had no idea.
But you mean ruin it? Did everyone follow your suit or did they honor?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kathy, going back to Katie, it's interesting because Katie I see as a younger girl's name and Kate is an adult.
Is an adult, yeah.
And so it's interesting that she would prefer Katie. But then again, I see Katie. Katie's fun and perky and, you know, and Kate is business.
Well, that
serious.
Was my, yeah.
And it's something, I think it just goes back to being a kid. Like for me, I hated Kathleen. Like I never wanted called by my full name. I don't hate it anymore, but I think it would be, there's only one person in this entire world that calls me Kathleen, and if somebody else did, it would be weird.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Who's the one person?
My cousin, Andrea. Okay. Or Andrea, if you want.
Andrea. We talked about that. Andrea and Andrea.
Yeah.
And the pronunciation is a thing people get persnickety about.
All right.
That's my aunt, persnickety.
I have a caller on line two. Look at the line. How would you say that name? He says that people always mispronounce it.
There's Mario or Mario.
Right.
I say Mario.
I say Mario.
Oh.
I say Mario.
All right, let's see
you
what
say
it is.
Mario. Yeah. What do you say, Case?
Mario.
Mario.
Oh, so I'm the odd man out. Yeah. I say Mario.
All right, let's see.
Let's go to Mr. M here. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Damn it, Preston.
Did I mess it up?
You messed it up, Preston. Mario.
Is Mario the Italian pronunciation?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
It's the Greek.
Yeah, the problem was I lived down south for like 7 years, and every single person would be, I'd say, hey, this is Mario. They'd be like, oh, you mean Mario? No. I haven't been mispronouncing my name my entire life.
By the way, the way you pronounce your name is your name.
Yes,
yeah. Right?
Right.
That is a right you reserve. And now do you get all bent out of shape if it's mispronounced?
No,
yeah.
not at all. Like, I mean, I just say, oh, no, it's Mario. And now if somebody's got, like, a ridiculous, accent, that's fine. You know, it doesn't bother me at all. It's just when somebody tries to correct me is what bothers me.
They could correct you on your own name. But you
yeah,
get
exactly.
Both the Southern and you also get the, hey Mario.
Yeah, you know, and if somebody's a burnout, that's fine. You know, I could accept that.
Yeah.
You okay. Figure the damage has been done.
I will switch.
Yeah.
Right. Mario.
Hey, I appreciate you. Hey, did Marissa sniff that chair yet or what?
See? I know what our audience wants.
Oh, it smells like ass.
You see?
It smells like bananas.
I have a friend who her name is Andrea. And when I see it written down, I see it as Andrea. But that is not her name. Her name is Andrea. And... you know, like it's you know, like my name is not Kasi, you know, and your name's not Priestin.
Well, it's all
and,
spelled yeah. the same, so you just have to know. You just have to know the person and how to pronounce it.
I thought your name was Kasia.
Kasia.
So my name does not lend itself to nicknames very well. There's only two people in the world who call me Riss. Is my mom and Hallam Roth in grade school were literally the only two people. So just like Mario, I had a couple of people in my life who called me Marisa, and it was
Marisa.
Exciting because it was like a nickname. Like,
it's actually very exotic, though. Marisa.
Yeah,
that's my sister-in-law's name.
Please, come here.
Come here, Marisa. But your mom has an exotic name, Conra.
Conra.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Is that a contraction of anything?
I was always told my...
Conreceptive?
My grandparents made it up.
Really?
Maybe it was that. Yeah, they named all of their daughters Kays.
Casey, what's the code to Conra?
Oh, up, up, down, down, left, right, yeah, B-A-B, slash start. Yes.
It's a Nicolas Cage movie, Conra Air.
I call you Maris.
Yeah.
And in fact, I will, when I send you an email, a lot of times I'll leave the A off just because that's what I call you. I mean.
Well, in the same way that I call you Press.
Right.
Just shorten it. It's the only thing we've got.
Yeah.
You don't see, so my dad is named Gene, my older brother, Gene, G-E-N-E. You don't see that a lot.
Is it Eugene? Because
no.
Eugene.
Yeah, Eugene.
Because Eugene is usually shortened.
You know what? I don't think so. Okay. Yeah.
Conra is a Finnish baby boy name.
Oh.
Ah.
Cool.
I've looked it up, and I think it's a province in Africa as well, too. Like there's
your mom's
very...
African?
She was the baby, you know, maybe the milkman.
Let me go to Sonny. Hi, Sonny. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. All right. So is Sonny your birth name?
No. So third generation, my birth name is Gilbert.
Oh. So
from the day good thing you went with Sonny.
I know. From the day I was born, my nickname, my mother gave me the nickname Sonny. So really to cement home the Gilbert, I was from second to eighth grade was the worst because every first day of school was, you know, Roll and Gilbert, and I was always embarrassed. And on top of that, I was a fat kid. And all I wanted to do was play saxophone, and they didn't have it available, so I ended up playing the trombone like Steve.
Dude, it was stacked against you.
It was, and I was carrying a bazooka case around and really hammering that Gilbert home. So Sonny has been...
Was Gil ever an option?
Well, it was, and this is what happened. I got it when I got my current career. I came in and I interviewed, and they said, what do you want me to call you? And I said, you can call me Sonny. And the guy's like, nah, I'm going to call you Gil. So,
why did he even ask?
Just ask what you wanted.
Why did he even ask?
Yeah. I just, you know, from 38 years, I was Sonny, and then now I come here, and people are calling me Gil. And
also, like, that's not your name. Like,
yeah, you should have said to the guy, what's your name, Charlie? I'm going to call you Taint Sniffer.
All right. Thanks, Sonny.
Hey, I appreciate it. You guys have a good weekend. All right?
You too, man. We'll see you. Yeah. I guess there are some people that maybe have hated their name from the get-go. I did not like my name when I was a kid.
Were you picked upon?
No, not at all. But the reason I didn't like my name is because, and I lived in the South. I grew up in the South before I moved to St. Louis, and, you know, that's where my bulk of my life was lived. But I guess when I would say my name was Press, I wouldn't say Preston when I was a kid. Yeah. I said Press, and people would think I was saying Chris, and so they would call me Chris, and it pissed me off. I'm like, no, my name is Press.
Right.
I'm like, Press? The hell does that mean? You know what I mean? Because it's not a name.
Kill him.
Preston may have been a little more clear. So, and plus, it was just an odd, out of the ordinary name. I wanted to be Dave or John or Steve or Jeff or something, you know, single syllable, straight ahead, pretty common. I wanted to be Mike, you know?
You know what? I always wanted to be Sarah.
Sarah?
For some reason. That was like, that was my
You could work
name.
As a Sarah. Yeah. But what does Sarah, mean?
I don't know. I just liked it. I don't know. I never liked Kathleen.
Was it the songs?
I thought, no. I just liked the name Sarah.
Sarah.
You know what I never understood?
Like Sarah Clayton.
You know what I never understood, though? Why people, like, from the very beginning, their parents named them and then called them by their middle name. I never understood
why did
that.
Why did you even waste,
Which is, why was that not?
It's dinner, Stitz.
Sometimes it's lineage. Like, I know a lot of people where if the father goes by one name, they'll name the son the same name, but use Call the middle name so there's no confusion.
Okay. My best friend as a kid, his real name was Wesley. I never knew that. But this is in South Carolina, mind you. He hated that name, but preferred the name Bubba.
Bubba.
And that was
Bubba.
His name.
Hey, did your dad ever entertain the notion of you being... a junior?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. What did Bill? What did Bill think your dad's name was?
Oh. Cuthbert.
Cuthbert.
Yeah. Cuthbert. Mm-hmm.
It's Cullen.
Yeah. Chuck was telling me that he was telling me that his friend's dad's name was Dick, and whenever he would come around, his dad's friends would call him Little Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his middle name was Smoker.
Was he a junior?
I don't.
Was like, he a junior?
I don't
this is
know.
Horrible. What's up, Little Dick? I mean, that's just...
You don't know.
That's a killer.
Honestly, I think so much of what we carry about the way we want to be called is as a result of what our name, how it's treated by kids.
Yeah, I think his last name was Sucka.
Yeah, but then you're just...
Little Dick Sucka?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, he's a great kid.
Weird name, though.
Yeah.
Hang on here. And I don't understand this. I want to go to Pam. Hi, Pam. Good morning.
Big brown Guatemalan nipples.
Getting sucked on by all sorts of pimples.
All right. So your name is Pamela, But your parents pronounce it incorrectly?
Yeah, they pronounce it Pamela.
Pamela?
Oh, Pamela.
Pam. Pam. Pamela. Nobody calls me Pam. What the hell is that? I don't know. They pronounce it Pamela.
As opposed to what?
Pamela.
Pamela?
Pamela. Pamela.
Because they would call her Pam instead of Pom. Yeah,
they
Pamela.
They call me Pam. Right. They call me Pam. But when they call me by my long name, it's Pamela.
So it bothers.
I'm hearing Pamela.
It's just a long A. Instead of a Pam, like a Philadelphia accent, it's
a long
Pamela.
A would be a Pamela.
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 Okay. Anyway, I'm not hearing it. Sorry.
But they named you and but once you are the owner of the name, you can declare how you want it pronounced, and they don't do it the way you want them to do it.
No, when I talk, well, nobody really calls me Pamela anyway.
What do they call you?
For them, but when they do it, then Pam. They okay. Call me Pam.
It's Pam. Okay.
But yeah, but it's Pam, not
Pam. I hear it's a nuance, but I get it, and it can piss people. It pisses you off, so I get it.
Yeah, it's annoying.
It's the difference between Han and Han.
All right. Oh yeah. Billy Dee Williams.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna end with an Andrea, because that's the one I think
that has. What do you think?
My inclination when I see the name is always to go to Andrea.
Andrea, yeah.
So
I'm going to go with Andrea. Let me see what the comment is.
It says, hates all other pronunciations of it.
All right. So I'm going to go with Andrea then.
Andrea. Okay.
I think Andrea.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to say Andrea.
Andrea. He's going with that one. Okay. Marissa?
Andrea.
All right. Andrea?
Hello. Yes. The first time you guys were right. Yeah. Andrea.
Andrea. Okay. So you don't like Andrea, anything like that?
No. You know, people have tried Andy also a few points in my life. I just don't understand. But every teacher I've ever had at the beginning of the school year, they always go, Andrea Smith. And I'm like, no. It's Andrea over here.
Andy. That seems to be
the
reach, right? To go. That's the most common pronunciation. I think would be Andrea.
That's what I thought. That's what my parents thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see, school.
Yeah.
School is where it all happens.
And by the way, I like the nickname Andy for girls. I think that's cute.
Yeah. Andy McDowell.
Yeah. There are some very cute Andys. All right. Anyway. So we went through these list of names that are dying out. And Marissa, you found these are American names that are dying out, for girls. And then we got to take a break. These are for girls, Aaron, Adeline, Alexa.
This is, both genders.
Okay. Allison.
Annabelle
is dying out.
Annabelle.
Anthony.
Is dying out.
Ariana, Aubrey, Bentley.
Bentley.
Yeah. Right. Brandon, Braden, Brooke, Bryson, Cameron, Chase, Gavin, Haley. Isabel.
I like the name Haley.
That dog's name is Haley. Isaiah, Jason, Jonathan, Jordan, Josie.
Jose.
Annabelle.
Oh, man, I love Josie.
Annabelle. Catherine. You're Kathleen.
I'm Kathleen, yeah.
Kaylee. I like that name.
Kaylee's a great name.
Kevin, Lillian.
Lily.
Then you have
Lily.
Logan. There's a few Logans in my neighborhood.
Dying out?
Yeah, but you'd think with X-Men. Never.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Madison, love that name. Had a cat.
Maddie.
Melanie.
Melanie.
What is that one, Marissa?
I don't know.
Nava.
Mave?
Nope. N-E-V.
Naven.
Mave is a great name.
N-E-V-A-E-H. Okay. Nevea.
New episode of The Boys tonight, Preston.
yes. I'm excited about that. Nicholas. That's Nick McElroy.
Yes.
It's dying out. Paisley. Wow.
If you're a Prince fan, I guess.
Peyton. Always loved the name Peyton.
We had an intern named Peyton.
She was adorable.
Awesome.
Piper. Always loved that name, too.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn. Robert. Sadie. Samantha.
Schmup.
Sarah. Savannah. There's some stripper names here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tyler and Zachary.
I know
Jolanda's not on here.
No.
I know tons of Zachs.
Our own Zach changed his name. It changes. That's not his name.
His name is Andy.
Yep. Andy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait. You're
right.
So he fully, like, legally changed his name?
I don't know if it's legal, but Zach is the name he goes by.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right. Zac Efron.
No. All right. Anyhow, just thought we'd share. We want to take a break and come back in a moment. We do have some bizarre file stories that are on the way. Don't forget, today, Friday, giving away our Word of the Week prize. And it's no sad bro, of course. So we'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us this morning.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Let's deliver the bizarre file to you.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
All right, it's brought to you by Godshall's. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat. The hometown favorite, Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon, from their family of owners to yours. Available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam Clubs. Here's a term that I learned from watching CSI. A BOLO alert was put out.
BOLO alert.
Yeah, that means be on the lookout.
Uh-huh.
The Knox County Sheriff's Office issued one for a tiger. This is in Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. A tiger that was seen a night after reports of the big animal being spotted in southeast Knoxville. A trap was
not usually where you find tigers.
No, those are in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
a trap was later set and removed Thursday by the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. The reported tiger has not been located as of Thursday afternoon. Yeah.
Could you imagine if you rounded the corner and saw a tiger?
Police and representatives with Tiger Haven were working to locate a tiger that was spotted by a Knox County deputy.
And then I saw a tiger.
What do you want to bet Joe Exotic is like? Frantically emailing them saying, I'll take care of this.
Yeah, I have a good record of taking care of some of them and then killing the rest.
A humane bear trap using a rotisserie chicken as bait had been set for the animal, but it was later removed due to inactivity.
I love rotisserie chicken.
An officer was posted nearby to continue to monitor the area. If captured, it will be taken to the Tiger Haven. But as of now, they haven't found it from all I can see.
That's unnerving.
Listen to this, man. This is in Luzerne County. This is in Wilkes-Barre. A man is now being charged after he wiped his vomit all over clothing at the Wyoming Valley Mall H&M store yesterday.
Why?
So according to police, the man entered the store, started throwing up, then stood up and wiped the vomit on 42 clothing items before leaving.
42?
Yeah. He must have been running down the aisle, you know, running
projectile
his hands.
Vomiting.
The man
That's
was
where my wife shops.
He was allegedly last seen leaving the parking lot in a black Acura. The cost damage is $859, and police are looking for him. They have no idea who this guy was. Came in, puked, and left. A Papa John's delivery driver dropping off a pizza in Miami-Dade County came back to find that their car had been swiped by a pair of thieves. Police said the two suspects got it in the car. Soon after, officers spotted the car and a short chase ensued. The two men took off after abandoning the car on the railroad tracks. It was then hit by a train as officers set up a perimeter.
No!
No one was injured, but officers are still looking for the two men, described as black males approximately 18 to 25 years old.
Is it a specific Papa John's vehicle, or was it just one of their own vehicles?
It said a Papa John's delivery driver, so yeah, I don't know if it was a Papa John's vehicle.
No, because Domino's has those special vehicles with the heated compartments.
Yeah, I don't know if they do at Papa John's, so they're asking anyone who has information to contact Crime Stoppers. Alligators are common in Florida, but this guy had a different encounter. The Polk County Sheriff's Office wrote in a Twitter post that a sheriff's deputy responded to a home on a report of an alligator in a storage shed and arrived to find it was actually an inflatable pool toy.
Did you see this thing, though?
It looked real.
It looks pretty real.
I agreed. Yeah. I could see somebody opening the door and then shutting it real quick.
I mean,
there was an alligator in there.
Skin texture and everything is pretty good.
The tweet says, Deputy Trexler went to a call about an alligator in storage shed. He came, he saw, he conquered the beast. He even knocked the wind out of it, literally. The gator turned out to be
a
pool floating. A woman from upstate New York managed to get arrested several times. In fact, three times over 2 days after repeatedly calling 911 to scream and yell at operators. Christine Dilberto of Saugerties had been arrested a total of 106 times in the last 4 years.
Jeez.
But the issues over the weekend began early Friday morning after she repeatedly called local police for hours. She was arrested and... After berating,
and I did it for you.
Oh my God!
How about that?
I forgot about that. That phone call was so great. Oh, my God. All right, anyway, she was arrested after berating emergency dispatchers and screaming obscenities. She also started calling the county 911 center and doing the same. She was charged with a misdemeanor count of obstruction of governmental administration. And then early Saturday morning, she repeated her behavior, was again calling and yelling. Was arrested, and this time she was transported to a local hospital because she was so intoxicated. She was processed on another misdemeanor charge of obstruction of governmental administration, and she had to undergo a mental health evaluation.
Of course. She's a loon.
One last story. A man from Florida is facing several charges after deputies say he stole mail from a woman while he was wearing only his underwear.
And you can't do that. You need to be fully dressed when you steal mail.
And it's one of these guys where you got to see the mugshot. This, you know. Deputies responded to the call, and they heard the bizarre story from the homeowner. The woman told authorities that she came outside to find a male in his undergarments taking mail out of her mailbox.
Listen, I'll be the first to admit it got away from me.
When she asked what he was doing, 64-year-old David Dunaway began yelling incoherently and attempted... and attempted to attack her while she was in her vehicle. Dunaway swung at her through the car window.
Oh, my God.
But only hit her with the stolen mail. The woman drove a short distance away to put space between the two, but Dunaway chased after her. She pulled out a handgun that she had in the vehicle and told Dunaway she'd shoot him if he kept coming after
her. This guy looks like something you put on your front lawn for Halloween.
Yeah, look, you're right. He's emaciated. He's got long facial hair, long hair, and
he looks fake.
On top. Yeah, he does look fake. He looks like a zombie.
Yeah,
mannequin of some type. Dunaway then took off down the road where she resides, and Dunaway was arrested after charged with burglary with assault or battery, resisting an officer, and so on. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. By the way, that call, I wish we had that whole call. It's a woman who was calling her son. She was trying to do something on the computer.
Yeah.
She couldn't get it done. And what's so funny about it, it was this slow burn.
Yes.
She starts off pretty calm, and it just slowly gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And then she's screaming at the top
of her
lungs.
And wasn't the son like a tech support or something?
I don't know.
And set it up? And it was just, it was.
I thought he was away at college. And that was what he got on his college answering machine.
Right. And she was just freaking out.
It was hilarious. All right. We have a friend who is on the line. We have her on from time to time. You know, of course, the Preston and Steve show runs on Dunkin', right?
You bet your ass.
They brought by a lot of great food this morning, by the way. I just had one of their croissant sandwiches. Yes, with sausage and egg. It was lovely.
Just had a donut.
But they have a special partnership that's going to be happening with the Eagles now that we got football season underway. So we would like to welcome the field marketing manager, Jessica Wiseman, to the show this morning. Hello there, Jessica.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Well, better now that I got some Dunkin' in me this morning. So thank you guys for sending by the goodies. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Always. Thanks for having us on today.
No problem. So you wanted to roll out this relationship of what you're doing with football season and the Eagles, correct?
Yeah. We are just so thrilled to be heading into NFL season and obviously be teaming up again with the Eagles this year. And, you know, we know that the season's going to look a little different, but we want to keep fueling Eagles fans wherever they may be cheering from this year. So we do our special game day offer, but it is going to look a little bit different this year because we really want to encourage people to try out our mobile app and ordering ahead. So this season, on every game day throughout the Eagles season, DD Perks members can score a $1 medium hot or iced coffee when they order ahead on the Dunkin' mobile app.
So I use this app, and it's great. It really is. So all of this stuff has made me like, you know, so I just like, okay, I flirted with the notion pre-pandemic. But then it really kicked in, and I'm like, why have I not been using this as much as I am now? Because it just cuts down on time. You get what you want. You have your orders are always in there, and it really makes a difference.
Oh, thanks, Steve. I'm really glad you like it. Yeah, it just makes it really convenient. And, you know, I think we're all looking for contactless experiences. So you can just download the Dunkin' app, order ahead, and then you can pick it up in-store for carryout. You can do drive-through pickup, Or many of our stores are even offering curbside now. So we're trying to make it as easy and quick and as contactless as possible, whether it be on Eagles game day or any other day of the week.
So we know for a fact that everyone's getting creative with the way that they're going to be watching the games and their sort of backyard tailgating and stuff like that. So all the stuff that you would enjoy taking to a tailgate, whether it be, you know, the coffee or the donuts or the sandwiches or whatever, you can do that. Use the app to do it. And I can report to you, by the way, that Matt Cowper and I have worked out a system that is the ultimate Dunkachino machine maintenance plan. And, guys, it's working like a charm, right?
Yeah.
So, oh, good.
All right. So it's all good now. Yeah, let him know that he's doing a good job the next time you see him. Yeah.
We definitely need that. All right. So does this happens? This gets underway now on game day from here on?
Yeah. So kicking off, yeah, this coming Sunday, you know, it's a 1 o'clock game. So we'll get everyone fueled up for the afternoon game. And then it'll continue throughout the season, every single game day.
Well, thank you, because I didn't realize that the Eagles were starting this Sunday. So I appreciate the heads
you?
Up.
News yeah. to Casey.
I had no idea. Wow, news man. That's exciting.
So dollar, medium, or regular iced coffee, correct?
That is correct. When you order ahead on the mobile app. So a great contactless experience.
Love it. Excellent. And with that, Jessica has given us a $100 Dunkin' gift card giveaway right now. So we'll take caller number 25, and that is yours, 215-263-WMMR. So thank you so much, Jessica.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
All right, and we'll talk to you soon. Download the app. Thank you, Jessica Wiseman from Dunkin' Donuts.
It is really good.
Yep, getting underway on Sunday, by the way. All right, with that, we're going to take a break. Come back in just a moment. Stay close.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
At 8:46, we are going to observe a moment of silence, a national moment of silence. Obviously, 9/11, 19 years ago this morning that took place. So that will be happening in a little while. So while it's generally a no sad bro Friday, it is a sad day, of course. But we'll cover that in a moment or two.
Yeah.
Some other things to speak about on leading up to that. I did see a handful of stories I thought were worth bringing up here. And this one resonated with me today. There was a poll of moms and dads of kids age 6 to 16 that reveal parents spend over $2,500 a year on, quote, making memories for their children.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Yeah, more than that.
Yeah. Kathy, I thought the exact same thing.
$2,500,
way more than
making
that.
Memories in relation to what? Just photographs, keepsakes,
theme parks.
Experiences.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Going to the zoo, birthday parties, that stuff.
You guys do far more than
that. I'm like
that.
A professional memory maker.
Yeah. The reason that this resonates with me is last week I was just talking to Rochelle. I'm like, I said, because it's coming to an end for us.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know what? We don't, we've been for you know, a decade and a half, and almost pretty, actually 2 decades now, we've been focused on entertaining and creating experiences for the kids. And it's starting now, you know, going to play miniature golf and stuff like that. Things like that is...
It's dwindling.
I mean, I've got one kid who's 20 and one who's 18.
Yeah.
Before you know it,
they're going to start to make their own memories.
Yeah.
You're going to be standing in a field while the dance is going on in the warehouse. You're going to realize you're an empty nester. It's just you and Shaw.
Yeah.
No, this was like a big, at least for me, growing up, my parents did this. And it was, you know, at the time, you don't know what they're doing, but they clearly passed it on to me. And it's all I do. It's basically 90% of my life is making sure that he has these experiences and these memories that he is not going to forget.
Do you love it?
I mean, yes, I
love it.
I mean, even like the fall activities, that's all part of that. Like, I remember doing that with my mom. We were always going somewhere. We were picking pumpkins, apples, bananas.
And you remember it. We're going to go banana. What? They just shut up.
Banana picking.
Yeah, I mean.
And we didn't have, like, we didn't have the money to, growing up, to go on big, lavish trips. So we did go on trips. We went to Disney. We went to Montauk. We definitely went away. But, like, you know, going to you know, really expensive trips wasn't a thing, but it was still,
likewise.
They still took us, you know, they took us somewhere and made sure that we had a memory of it.
Yeah. And that's, and you as the parent get joy out of seeing them experience that stuff. So, so there's,
absolutely.
You know, it, and so therefore, and this is me being totally selfish, I'm like, I'm going to miss that. You know, I'm going to miss seeing them enjoy these things.
That's, with anything, it's like you tend to, I enjoy seeing people's response to getting a gift, turning them on to a movie, taking them someplace they've never been. It helps enhance the joy. It helps you rediscover joy of something that you've done.
Totally.
And that little extra boost will be gone.
Mm-hmm. If you want to pay for our memories, you can come with us.
Maybe I should do that. Yeah. I could do that and I can and continue to enjoy memories.
Here's how I fly.
So here's how they break that down. They found that Easter, Halloween, and Christmas cost parents $930 a year.
Get the hell out of here.
This is
first shopping trip.
This is on average. While trips to the zoo, theme parks, and the movies cost about $690 per year. I wonder if they consider if you just have one kid, you know? And outings like bowling, mini golf, or pottery painting.
All activities.
Add up to about $240 a year.
We smashed a pot over my dad's head if he took me pottery painting.
I was out running errands with my son last night, and we had driven past. There's a back entrance to the Marple 10 movie theater, and my son looks up and he goes, oh, is that the way to the movie theater? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, man, what was the last movie we saw in a theater because of everything that's going on right now? And
Do you have plans for the movie that you're that you want to take him to see as things are opening up again?
I mean, no plans yet. You know, I don't even know what that first movie would be. Like, would it be, you know, Marvel Black Widow? But I mean, it was so long ago. We really had to rack our brains to figure out what we actually saw in
the
theater.
Is that the door we used to sneak into the theater?
No, I'm gonna go.
First movie I'm gonna go see is Dune. That's the one I'm gonna hang on to because I think it's in November. Maybe?
Yeah, it's November.
I'm gonna go see that.
In our family, most of these memories revolved around sports. So it was a lot of Phillies games, a lot of Eagles games, a lot of mine and my brothers. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, mine and my brothers' own games. We would go to field hockey games, football games, etc. But I experienced something special in 2007 when the Phillies made their first World Series run. I got tickets and brought my dad to every game. And then he started telling his friends about his daughter taking him to the game.
Oh,
so it was kind
cool.
of like a nice flip around that because he spent his entire life
taking you.
Dedicated
to
us.
If you can do that, that's cool when you can treat the parents. And hopefully that's what you'll get, Preston and Casey and Kathy, is that you get the flip where they take care of you. They pick the medical facility they're going to live in.
That's not why I do it, but you know,
and then they'll give you a good one where they check in on you at least once a week.
My wife's mantra for the longest time has always been experiences, not things. You know, because Preston, for instance, you dropped and broke and shattered your son's memory,
and I'll never lose that experience.
But no, but like you can lose things, you can throw things away, you know, things break or whatever, but you know. As long as your brain is intact, like those memories will always be there.
Oh, and here, I'll give you something. So during this memory making, if something happens that I feel bad about, so I'll give you a little examples. We went to the Ocean City Boardwalk once, and he wanted to play this game, and I let him play. And it was, like, ridiculous. Like, the price, it was, like, $12, and you won, like, a teeny stuffed animal that, he would never want. Well, he wanted the next level stuffed animal, which means he would have had to play a second time. And I was like, no, that's it. You played. We're done. And I, you know, I said no. Now, listen, it was the end of the day. We had done the beach. We had then done the boardwalk. So he was crying. He was upset. And I was, you know, flustered. And I'm like, no, we're not playing again. And I had to stick to my guns. Like, no, we're not playing again.
Right.
And so later on in the, you know, at night when he was getting ready for it, he was like, I just wanted that inflatable hammer. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
You're still hanging on to this?
Well, and so I felt...
You wait right here. I'm going to go get a real hammer.
No, I felt terrible.
Really?
So for like every weekend after, I'm like, do you want to stop at the Ocean City Boardwalk and get and we can play that game again and do the inflatable hammer? I asked him like, I mean, months later. I asked him the next summer.
The magic is gone.
Wait, but no, and I asked him and he was like, what are you talking about? So I'm like...
He doesn't even
remember, and I'm still holding on to this guilt.
And you know when you were a kid, you know how you'd play things. I wanted a book, a Universal Monster Movies book. And, you know, I tried every angle. My parents were on to me quickly. And, you know, and that, it's like... When they have your number, there's nothing you can do. And you realize how he's on to the next thing. And you're holding on to it like it's the most important thing in the world.
And I think he said something like, nah, it's too hot out. Yeah. Like, or something. I was like, what? And I've been holding on to this?
For an inflatable hammer?
Yeah.
You an idiot.
Well, now I appreciate your mantras. Because when I was cleaning out my parents' house, I had so many like bottles of sand that I had made from the Ocean City Boardwalk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you layer the colored sand.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Like, I had a glass from every single, like, Planet Hollywood and Hard Rock Cafe we visited. Like, just because we went to the Baltimore Inner Harbor didn't mean that I needed a Planet Hollywood Baltimore pint glass that sat and collected dust.
We have a collection, and Rochelle, I don't know why, you know, when you would go to Disney on Ice or Marvel Live and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Rochelle always buys the programs,
which are
$20. We're never going to look at these things ever.
Muppets.
Not even right after the event. We're not even going to look at these.
Preston, come in here. I'm reading Muppets on Ice 2011.
Yeah. And I found a stack of them, and I'm like
the,
these
you're
are
talking
stupid.
About like the nice ones, though, not like the ones that are just the hand you as you
no,
walk
no,
in.
This is programs. Programs. Yeah. Get your programs here.
Oh, my God.
$25.
Elmo was spot on that night.
Yeah.
All right, can I ask you guys something? I'm not necessarily normally a trash picker, but when I was walking out of, I went to see Endgame, and I was walking out of the theater, and it was like the second time I had seen Endgame in the theater.
All right, half-eaten donut?
No, oh. When I walked out of the theater.
I had to fight a seagull for it.
You gotta let me finish.
All right, go ahead.
When I walked out of the theater, on top of this overflowing trash can were collectible popcorn and drink and cups. And I grabbed them. Because somebody threw them away.
There's still food in them.
Oh, wait, no. I didn't eat the food. And I didn't drink.
Collectible meaning they're the hard plastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And so you still have them.
Okay.
Yeah. But do you need that?
Do I need that?
He keeps his inflatable hammer in it.
If you want it
question.
And someone was throwing it away and you put it in the dishwasher, sure.
We eat popcorn enough that having a popcorn thing is
holder.
Cool.
Okay.
And the cup was cool, man.
Listen, I get it.
If you watch
Collector's Corner, there are things like that that you pick up and you're like, oh my God, that'll be worth it. Now you realize it's incredibly mass produced.
Of course.
And you'll have to wait a long time before it's worth anything. But yes, I get it.
I wasn't doing it for the, you know.
Cheap thrills.
On the off chance that it'll be worth something in 20, 30 years from now. I grabbed it because I was like, dude, why would you throw that away? Hey, you spent a lot of money on that. Like, that, you know, it wasn't cheap to, you know, buy those things.
Look at this. Perfectly good toilet paper.
Yeah. Barely used.
Making memories, creating memories for kids can be quite an expensive endeavor.
Yeah.
I'm getting texts from people who are like, well, I went to Live Aid and I bought a program there. Okay. Historic moment in music history. I get it.
Yeah.
But the ice capades, Frozen on ice.
No.
We've taken pictures of us there together. We have that.
The 7500 performance of, I remember going to one of those. And by the way, those the programs, the flashlight, the toy flashlights with the spinning things, $30-40.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, astonishing.
Yeah.
And they don't work a day later.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
man.
I mean, I just, if you've had a good childhood, you know, like, yes, you look back on those memories
fondly. There was a place, Preston, used to live in the Upper Chi area.
Yep.
On 322. I don't know if you ever saw Family Fun Spot.
I did. It was pretty much run down by the time.
Yeah, well, it was pretty much run down when I went there in the 80s.
But it was called, by that time, it was dysfunctional Family
Water
Fun.
Slide and go-kart?
Steve, that's all it was.
Yeah.
Two water slides and a go-kart track that went around the water slides. There might have been, like, a tiny arcade and maybe miniature golf. But, like, dude, all you really... You just went there and went... It was, like, not even a water park. It was, like, a pool with two giant slides that you went to. But I loved it as a kid.
You had great memories.
Such a treat.
I think anything... At some level, you can find... You know, I have great memories. My dad, you know, we were lower middle class family for a while, and then my dad started to get some gigs that were good, and he was you know, World War II vet and was self-made man and was doing I think the world of him and what he was able to put together. But we had some lean times, you know, and to see what he did. But I never as a kid felt we didn't have, you know, they made it exciting, you know, and that's, you know, you can adapt, you know. And so that place did mean something for people.
It was a great thing my dad did for me, making memories. It was called Cut the Grass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was Change the Oil.
Yeah.
And
then get this out of my toe.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. No, my parents
set the field on fire.
We took trips that were pretty damn memorable, to like Washington D.C. and stuff. We used to do a lot of driving trips when I was a kid. We would drive.
Yeah,
everywhere.
We did too. Yeah.
We drove down to from New York down to Florida, Miami, and it was in the back seat of a Subaru, with the first ones that were really, you know, the rotary engine, and I was like, I left. That's where I got scoliosis on that goddamn trip.
We used to drive to Disney. Like, that was every year. Every year we would go because we had family that lived down there. We had family that had timeshare. So it was a yearly thing. And I remember one time flying with my mom. And for whatever reason, my dad was driving down. So she had the three of us by herself. And we checked in. And the woman said, "Are you flying by yourself with those three kids?" She said, "Yeah." And they put us in first class.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty snazzy.
Yeah. And those are things that I sort of took for granted. Just, you know, we would go down the shore. And, like, to me, that was just awesome. And it didn't seem that extravagant or anything like that. But we'd spent a week in Ocean City.
How much?
A little basement apartment where, you know, we would all, you know, they have, like, three kids in one bedroom.
Do you feel the onus to do, you must as a parent feel the onus to do this, to do the same for your kids?
Yeah, but I also didn't realize that, like, people didn't, like, I just thought that was the norm. You know what I mean? And it wasn't, you know, yearly trips to Disney or cruises or, you know, flights anywhere. It was just, you know, a week down the shore. And a lot of people didn't do that.
That's right. You always have to put things in context.
So this is according to a poll, but it says that the parents who have kids who are ranged age 6 to 16, they were the ones that were polled. And they spent over $2,500 a year on making memories. I was thinking the same thing, Kathy. That's way low.
That's low. That's low on the memory making.
Especially if you've got two or three or four or five or however it may be. But listen, you stretch out your dollars the way you can. But it's a big part of parenthood is trying to create those memories at last. One memory that will never fade from any of our minds. We're getting ready to commemorate with a moment of silence took place 19 years ago this very morning, which is, of course, with the 9/11 attacks. We were live on the air when it happened.
Yes, we were.
And we're as confused as everybody else as what was going on. It was a day that we'll never forget because we were, no matter where you are, you'll never forget. But we were kind of on the spot. We had to convey the information of that we were receiving about what was going on and during all that confusion. And it was this overload of info as it came on board. There's going to be a number of ceremonies that take place today, as do every year. You'll be able to watch them on TV and catch them later on. So at 9:46, which is going to be, according to our clock, in 10 seconds, we're going to do just a moment of silence. So if you'll help observe, we would appreciate that as we think back about 19 years ago today. Thank you for observing with us. It's always hard to come back out of that. I never know exactly what to say. Anybody else's heart pound really heavy?
It does. I borderline tear up every time.
I know.
Yeah, because it's just it's that tangible. And there's I tweeted out something today from a 60 Minutes piece on the first responders. And there are some stories that if you've never seen this piece, to put it in context about what the police and the firefighters and just people in general, but what was going on the Oliver Stone film, Trade Center, I believe, there's tons of documentary footage, there's tons of footage that then you can see. And what you think you know, that we still learn stories of insanely heroic acts. There's this one first responder, this woman, a police officer, who was talking about basically the person in charge of them, her sergeant or whatever, turned to them and said, "We're not going to live through this.
Oh, my God.
But we need to be here." And it's just you know, catch you. But it's that's what went on, and we need to.
Oh, I tell you what.
Never forget.
I'll tell you what'll kill you is hearing the voicemail messages
from the
people on Flight 93 and the people that were in the towers above the fires, and where they were either, you know, just apprising people of the situation or saying their goodbyes. It's really hard to listen to. It's still it cuts just as much.
If you can, though, bring yourself to it, experience it some way today to keep it fresh, to let your kids know about it and without traumatizing, and, you know, let them know about, the best of us, the best. And we saw the worst and we saw the best in how people responded and came together. And, as we're seeing a lot of stuff going on now, remember, just the levels of heroics and heroism that we saw that day and the subsequent days. And that's what we're capable of.
You can do the drive-through of the memorial out in Bucks County. I mean, that's the closest one to us. It's in Lower Makefield. And
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there, you can drive through it today. I mean, it's a little bit different, because of the pandemic. But you can drive through. You could turn your radio on, and you can listen to stories from family members. They're doing that all day today.
What's the memorial like? I've never seen it before.
You know what? I've seen pictures of it. It's actually very pretty. I mean, as you would imagine, it's not huge, but it's a decent size, and
it looks like they did a great job. I was out that way when they first had the sparse sort of memorial, but you've been out.
I've seen. You know what? I've actually never been there.
Okay.
I've seen pictures of it. I watched some video of it. There were 18 people from Bucks County that died that day. And one of them was, I'm pretty sure he was either a pilot or a co-pilot. I think he was the pilot of one of the planes.
Okay.
In the mad rush of memories from that, is there one, and this is, it's a hard question to answer, is there one memory that rises above all of them for you?
Yeah, when I saw live on television the second plane hit.
Yeah.
Because we were watching the TV, it was in a commercial break.
Right.
And we kind of looked at each other, we're like, are they playing back video from earlier,
right,
or did that just happen? And whatever network we were watching on, had a delay between the audio and the video signal. So the commentators didn't say anything until well after that plume came up. And I was like, oh, my God, that we just saw that live on television.
Yeah.
That's the one that stands out to me most. If you ask me to immediately think of something, that's what pops into my head. Mm-hmm. It was
that
scary.
That in
Very
the moment.
Scary.
And then, returning to New York and where we lived was next to a parking lot for the Long Island Railroad.
Cars
that stayed there. Stayed there. And you knew what that meant.
When were you able to get back to New York?
It happened. It was a Tuesday, right? Yeah. I made it back Friday. My wife was up there
but you weren't in the city. You were right. Long Island?
Long Island. Yeah. So it's passing by, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the bridges were closed. It was hard to get back.
It was surreal and, just amazing.
We're looking at the pictures of this memorial. It looks gorgeous in Bucks County.
It's very pretty. Yeah.
I was in Boston at the time, and if you remember, the planes took off from Logan Airport.
Yeah.
And I remember that I had an 8 a.m. class the day of it. And I specifically remember always sitting in that class and watching planes take off from Logan Airport.
Yeah.
And as I think it was an hour-long class, and it would happen, and...
somebody came through because we were in a high-rise building. Somebody came and evacuated the building, and my professor refused to leave. Mm. And, you know, it's just one of those type of professors. And the person said, no, this is real.
Yeah.
You need to get out.
So you're thinking you may have seen the plane take off?
You know, it could have just put myself in there. But I just always specifically remember that. And going back to the dorm, and it was the first week of school and nobody had TV set up. So we all just kind of clustered into one person's room that had an antenna and just to watch what was going on.
That's a fair point. If you stop and think about it, Preston, you talk about a flood of information that we were getting, but a flood of information at that time was phone calls.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was
that was it.
It was on social media. There was none of that. We were not getting that. We were just getting, we stayed on the air obviously much longer. And we're fielding calls from people who are everyone looking for some sort of,
I also remember, who had some kind of info to pass along, and I remember a lot of erroneous information was coming across, too. It was like there was an explosion at a mall, and they started shutting down, the parks started shutting down, they started closing stuff. But I remember hearing reports that turned out to be, erroneous. Like I said, they just weren't true. And it was everybody panicking, essentially. Mm-hmm. But once we heard, and then it was like, and then there was, a second plane hit. And now the Pentagon has been hit. And there's word of a crash out. And these are rolling out over the course of hours. Yeah, and we're like, whoa, dude. Mm-hmm. It's like, boom, 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 boom. Another. And we're like, when is this going to stop?
Right.
And it was scary. It was flat out scary.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. What were we going to say, Maris?
Just post, too. I still remember the sound of the very first plane I heard flying over a few days later.
Yeah.
I was in my friend's
Because you
house.
Hadn't. You
yeah.
hadn't.
Yeah.
It was
hadn't heard those sounds.
Eerily quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where were you when you...
Just at my friend's house. Yeah. We were just hanging out and, nobody... We were all numb. Nobody knew what was going on. It was maybe a day or two later and we just all stopped when we heard the sound of a helicopter or plane, something pretty low, but it's a very distinct sound that I'll never forget.
There have been many 9/11 documentaries. There's one that has, and it's to put it into perspective, and there's so many perspectives that you can have on that, on this particular day and the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and obviously here, but the chilling sound, which you'll hear in the footage of the first responders to the World Trade Center, when the fires were raging out of control so high up, and you're hearing what you think are explosions, but they're not explosions. They're the bodies hitting the outside pavement. Yeah.
People jumping.
That was,
rather than burn to death. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's a terrible day. Terrible, terrible day. All right. Well, thank you for these few moments. We got to take a break because we do have some things to do. We have a guest who's coming up. We continue the A to Z, so we will get to that when we return. Stay with us. Our next guest likes to sculpt small Pokemon-like characters.
Who doesn't?
I know. It's all the rage. But actually, he's going to be premiering at, performing at Punchline. And their patio series is going to be there tonight and tomorrow. There's two shows each night. You can get those tickets. They are available at punchlinephilly.com. Please welcome Matthew Broussard.
Hey!
To the show, Matthew.
Oh, hello, everybody. Thank you for plugging my Pokemon sculpture.
I thought I'd lead with that. I thought that would be a good place to begin.
That's my strong suit.
Well, we have to ask, besides sculpting the figures, were you ever caught up or swept up in the Pokemon, the Rage Pokemon Go and all that? You'd see people going out doing the virtual.
Was I?
Yeah.
Was I or still am I? That's the answer.
Well, just to let you know,
every day.
You do.
Oh my god!
We do
almost
know a number.
Level 40.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We know a number of people, believe it or not, who are full blown adults who are addicted to that and still continue to do it. So there you go. Listen, that's the spice of life, right?
Hey.
It's the way to go. There's lunch raids in New York City. I'll go to Manhattan to do a raid, and you'll see 80 dudes in suits just stepping out of their banking job to catch a Lugia. It's really fun. It's so fun.
Matthew, I'm looking at your, I don't think I can say the name of the screen name of your Instagram page, but is this his, Marissa?
Yeah.
These are impressive. What do you make these little sculptures out of? What's the product that you use?
It's a polymer clay called Sculpey. I use Sculpey Primo. Yeah, I've been doing that stuff for a little while.
That's impressive.
For like 25 years.
Were you artistically inclined before that? Because I've always I'm a fairly decent artist, sketching and you know on the comic book level. But I've always wanted to get into sculpting. So what was your? Would you had any inclination before? Any ability before?
Oh, I mean, I started when I was like 5. Okay. My parents bought me clay when I was 5, and I'd always ask for toys. And they're like, just make it. Was their way of being.
Ah, no.
So the reason I built Skill is because my friends would have a toy, and I'd come with my crappy sculpture, and I'd want mine to look more like theirs. So it became like a kind of a competition.
Yeah,
with the real product. Try to make it as accurate, and I'm still getting better. But yeah, that's kind of the evolution.
No, this stuff is impressive. Yeah. There's a company called Sideshow Collectibles that does a whole bunch of. They do genre figures and things of that nature, and they have videos where they show their artists doing these renderings, and it's just so impressive. Do you find a lot of zen relief in doing this?
Unbelievable amount. It's so it focuses you so much that you can't it closes the range of vision of my usually ADD brain. So.
Well, you are I think, and doing research on you, you have to be one of the most learned comedians that we've ever had on. You have a degree in applied mathematics. Your educational background is pretty extensive. Were your parents, and your parents are both scholarly, was there a tremendous amount of blowback when you said, I'm going the way of the stand-up comedian?
Yeah, well, when I went to college, I originally wanted to major in pure math, and my parents wouldn't let me because they said it wasn't practical enough. They said it was too unemployable, so I convinced them that applied math was a better way to go.
Well, so, you don't usually have arguments. Yeah.
Imagine comedy.
Yeah,
they thought math and physics were a dreamer's path. So comedy they didn't like. They said they don't like, yeah.
Wow, so they thought like physics was too sort of whimsical.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let me give the background on your parents.
And potheads
Your dad's he's got a doctorate in chemistry. Your mother has a master's degree in microbiology. Your brother's a mechanical and aeronautical engineer. Wow. So you had no choice but to head down a very learned path.
Yeah, the kind of reason I got into comedy was just when I was 23, I saw a flyer for an open mic, and I was like, oh, I don't have to do everything everyone told me.
Right.
It's all been a lie. And then once I realized I could do something else, I got, I tried to go after it. So
was there one?
It's still working out, fortunately.
Yeah. Well, I know you're a big Dave Attell fan. We love Dave Attell as well. As far as influences go, was there that one comedian you saw who flicked the switch on for you?
He's not necessarily my favorite comedian, but I saw Donald Glover live.
Right.
And that was kind of what like inspired me to do it. Cause I was like, I went to see him do music, but then when he did the comedy part, I watched and I was like, that's so cool. And also I could do that. Like anyone, I don't need to go to school for musical performance. I don't need any prereqs. So that was one of the switches flipped. And then.
Was it your tweet that I saw? It says, my main.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like my
biggest comedic influences are Redacted, and Dave Attell.
Yes. Yeah. That
oh, is that it? Oh, that's great.
Redacted,
that's awesome.
Redacted, and Dave Attell. He's still safe for now, right?
Amazingly. Yeah. He's a guy who, like, should have. I think he's mad he isn't canceled.
I can see that. Well, you know, it's sort of, for a while, it just became monotonous to talk about the, you know, the constrained sort of, you know, where you can go material wise and so on and so forth. But I sense there's also the beginnings of, and tell me if you agree with this, a little bit of blowback on that. And people like, you know, with Bill Burr and Chappelle sort of saying, nah, I'm going to go do the material I want to do anyway.
Yeah. It's crowds are pretty hungry to hear you say the wrong stuff. And it's what's happened is it's easier and easier to be edgy now because the the barriers are so high, and people are coming from their job where there's this intense HR and rules around what you can say. And you can tell audiences are so relieved to hear you just say something honest but wrong.
Yeah, well, that's the purpose, yeah. A stand-up comedian's purpose. You know, listen, yeah, there's
to make you feel like a better person by contrast.
Right. This
so you say horrible things. Yeah.
This evil prick. I'm a much better person.
People always say, comedians always go up and say, oh, this is therapy for me. No, it's therapy for you. It's therapy for the audience. I mean, your goal is to make them feel better, you know?
So with you, with this whole thing, and obviously returning to doing stand-up, and the Punchline setup is really good, really conducive to this, you know, as far as the outdoor setup. And there's a place around the country where rooms are opened up. How have you been? Are you particularly germophobic, or are you, what's your mindset?
I have the antibodies already, so...
Oh, you're all good, yeah.
I thought I knew privilege before, let me tell you. It's pretty nice, yeah. But, yeah, trying to be careful. Obviously, I want to not encourage people to intermingle, interact with each other. Outdoors are great. We've been doing outdoor shows in New York for weeks, months now, and it's very safe, and the energy is great. People are so hungry for comedy. Outdoors, it feels very comfortable.
All right, because I was curious, Matthew, you know, I mean, you've had to make some adjustments, and everybody is finding things right now in quarantine and lockdown, whatever you want to call it, about some kind of silver lining stuff about having to improvise and make do with the situation that we have. And some things, like Zoom work, you know, and being able to work from home and so on, have turned out to be more convenient. Is there anything about doing comedy outside that has an upside versus the indoor, you know, close confines?
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D.
I wanted to go back to this.
You have more access to the nutrients the sun provides.
Yeah. Not feeling like a scumbag. Shows are so early in New York. I'm looking forward to performing in a dark, like, basement with, like, a pipe dripping.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the dinginess of it. It's been exciting because it shows you how much, for me personally, it's shown how much people still want to see comedy, that they're willing to come to a park and sit outside, mm-hmm. and chance the weather and all of that. That's been the bright spot for me is seeing the enthusiasm for comedy is at an all-time high when I thought it might be at an all-time low.
Right. I think it'll probably help comedians in the long run if they're doing this because we've known some that they're very particular about a room and if something's not quite right and how am I going to do the show's just not going to be the same if I do it this way. Now that you've had to do it in really bizarre conditions, those little things might not bug them so much, you know?
Exactly. It makes me, I go from the park show in New York, there's park shows and there's like rooftop shows. Those are the two categories. Park shows. There was a topless woman doing yoga behind me. About my park show.
Yeah, top that, Caroline.
Yeah. Not a brick wall, as there should be.
Right.
When you go to the rooftop shows, and those much more closely simulate a real show as do the Punchline shows.
Well, it was a WC. WC Fields said never work with small kids and a topless woman doing yoga, I think, was the... I wanted to ask you, are you born in New Jersey? And if so, where?
I was born in some New Jersey. I don't remember a minute of it. I moved when I was three.
Oh, okay. All right. So there was not that culture shift.
Yeah, I spent 20 years in the South, and now I'm back in the Northeast, so clearly I wanted to be back here.
Yeah. So you spent that long?
I
said you spent that long in the South. Did you pick up the Southern drawl for a while? Because I was a kid who lived in the South as well. I eventually lost it.
Yeah, no, I never had it. I picked up the way my father spoke. I have the non-regional.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the newscaster. My voice sounds like why Mitt Romney lost. That's kind of like...
Yeah, I ended up. Yeah, no, the antiseptic thing is weird because I'm from New York and my wife has a very Long Island dialect and everyone tells me I have sort of an antiseptic speech pattern and some people. I think my father also had he spoke a mixture of the King's English and the most profane language you could possibly have. But I think you draw a lot from your parents. So that never was part of my deal. But a lot of people say, they move into a region and they immediately start picking up that dialect. And I think if you're going to pick up a dialect, the Southern the lilting drawl is nice.
It's charming.
Yeah.
That's the thing. My dad got rid of his accent because as a chemist, he was embarrassed to sound dumb with a Cajun accent.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's right.
Have you seen Theo Vaughn's career? I could have used that accent.
Yeah, you notice, you make a good point. Van Damme never played a research chemist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So when you're playing the gig, you're in town for a couple of days. They're starting to loosen things up a little bit as far as being able to get out and about. Are you moving around? Do you feel comfortable doing that? You know, going into establishments.
I follow whatever the city's guidelines are. Okay. Yeah, I love me some coffee shops. So I'm gonna hit up all the coffee shops, and if they make me sit outside, I'll sip outside.
So we also see, by the way, there's a movie that you did, Billy Crystal, in post-production called Here Today. Is there a projected release date on that?
Yeah, not yet. It's a great movie. It's Billy Crystal, Tiffany Haddish. I play Colin Jost.
Do you really?
Yes. It took me until after the movie was finished filming. I was like, it's really cool. I got that part. I'm really happy that happened. And then I picked up a book sitting on the shelf, and it was a picture of Colin Jost's face. It was his book, and I realized it looked like mine. I was like, oh, that's why I got cast. That looks like my brother. I play an SNL-type performer, writer, newscaster. So I do like the weekend update of the SNL, because the whole show is kind of based around an SNL-type show. What's it called? Newscaster.
Okay.
What was your experience with Billy? Because I would love to meet the guy someday.
Really cool. He was really cool. We talked about stand-up. He directed and starred in the movie, and he's like 72, and then he like didn't sleep. He's a machine. It was unreal.
People forget how. So he does. Obviously, there was the more general stuff that he would do, but he had some of the sharpest comedy specials. And really, SCTV level stuff. He's really not much he can't do.
Yeah, and he wrote the movie with his writing partner Alan Zweibel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
legendary.
Oh yeah, okay. Legendary. So it was the two of them just, you know, walking around set, and they're both as charming as they could be. Never on a grumpy day, and they would tell stories of the original writers from an SNL where they both started. And that was a trip.
So what's the best story you heard?
He would say that there was an older writer that would that Billy's character was based on that would just sit there with his glasses down his face and he would never laugh at a sketch. If he would sit there stone-faced the whole time. And at the end of it, he would give it a little nod. And if he gave it a little nod, I mean, it was going to be the best sketch of the week. And otherwise,
They're legendary. That there was a book years ago that, you know, there was, we've already had 10 or 11, 12 additional years of SNL when this book came out. But the stories in that book of those lampoon writers coming over and the ragers and the drugs and all that stuff, just incredible.
Yeah, I feel like they don't do that anymore, but right. They used to party really hard, huh?
It seems that way, yeah.
Well, the party will be tonight at Punchline. Two shows, 6:30, 8:45, and the same thing tomorrow, and people can get tickets. Go to punchlinephilly.com. Would have been nice to have you in the studio, but we're not doing that yet. Maybe next time, Matthew, okay?
Maybe next time. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet, man. Thanks for coming on. Matthew Broussard, guys, at Punchline. You'll be able to see him. Steve, did you ever see a movie with Billy Crystal called Mr. Saturday Night?
I did, yes. I liked that movie.
I liked it. It came and went very quickly.
He's not lovable in the movie. He's a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
But he's a comedic. The movie didn't do well. Yeah.
No, I didn't. But I liked that. You know, he and his brother growing up were a comedic tour. He started to get a little bit of fame. And it shows you how, you know, there were a lot of comedians that had television shows back in the 1950s and 60s. And they just kind of came and went. And I thought it was a great story.
It was a sort of a Milton Berle-esque.
Yes.
And that was the approach. Again, I like stuff like that. I always talk about this movie that Carl Reiner directed, the late, great Carl Reiner, called The Comic. Dick Van Dyke is a silent film comedian, and there are funny parts to it, but it's really ultimately a sad story about when an industry like Hollywood is done with you. Yeah, that's it. Goodbye.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, and if you can't accept that, it can be really cataclysmic.
Yeah. Hey, I saw this. I saw this news story. I actually saw it a couple days ago, but I wanted to make sure that that I mentioned this. Do you remember this weird story out of Denmark where this guy had built his own submarine? He was an inventor.
I'm waiting for the HBO documentary about this because there was a murder involved.
Correct. She was a Swedish journalist, and he has finally confessed in a Danish documentary that he killed her.
Okay, so the method of killing her?
Well, I don't know how he killed her, but he cut her up.
He cut her up.
And threw her out into the ocean. So Kim Wall was her name. She was killed after she boarded Peter Madsen's homemade submarine in Copenhagen Harbor in August 2017. Her mutilated body was discovered on a beach 11 days later.
Doesn't every mother, Kathy, tell their daughter to never get on a guy's homemade submarine?
Where did he make said submarine? I mean,
where did he?
Bedroom. This thing is huge, by the way. Huge. We're looking at a picture of it, Casey. You're exactly right. Where does one?
Did he have a dry dock somewhere?
He must have, because that's where you'd have to launch it from.
Dry
right?
dock, wet dock. You know.
Her body was found. He was sentenced to life in jail in 2018. When a court dismissed his claim that Ms. Wall's death was an accident, because I think he'd originally said she died. He panicked, and so he cut her up.
You know what you do, cut up the body.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I came in. My grandmother was dead on the floor. I panicked. I put her in a wood chipper.
The confession was made to a journalist who secretly recorded more than 20 hours of phone conversations with Madsen in jail for a documentary series. I guess you can secretly record people. You can't do that legally here. In the secret recording...
So how are things going? How's your submarine? What happened there to that girl you had on the bird?
My beard.
Did you chop her into the pieces?
Wait, so did he murder her or was it an accident?
Yeah. No, he murdered her. So it's going to air sometime, I guess, next week. The inventor answers yes to all the questions. Asking if he killed Miss Wall. He said there is only one who is guilty, and that is me. According to us, Madsen had previously...
Is there some of the improv that you've been coming to know? Jesus.
It's universal. It is. Madsen has previously admitted to chopping up Ms. Wall's body and throwing it out to sea, but maintained her death was an accident.
Huh.
He's now given permission for the conversations to be aired. She was 30 years old when she died. She was an award-winning reporter who had traveled the world for her stories. She reported from Uganda, Cuba, Marshall Islands, Kenya, and the United States.
And some dumbass with a homemade submarine is the end of her.
So the reason she got on that submarine says, while staying in Copenhagen with her boyfriend, she had become interested in Madsen's do-it-yourself rocket and submarine projects, and she just decided to report on it.
I wonder, did any suggestion as to what sparked the moment of the murder?
Not that I know of. Nope, not that I know of, but he's apparently...
She made the fun of me for not having torpedoes.
There's no torpedoes on this thing? What are you, an idiot?
I didn't have time to make it to torpedoes.
Homemade submarine.
There was a guy, I remember years ago when I was working at Beadle Bookstore and I was just starting in stand-up comedy. I'd drive in to, you know, the back entrance of the mall, and there was a guy who had a house right near the mall, and he was making his own submarine.
Oh my God!
What? And it was he was out there on his driveway, and you know, super flat, boring Brentwood, Long Island, and he was there. And I'm thinking it would not take much to turn what he has right here into a missile.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is, if I'm his neighbor, I'm like, oh my God!
What are you doing?
Please,
what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a submarine, completely different. But my best friend Steve, I'll never forget when he told me his wife. He's like, yeah, Julie wants us to get a pool. She thinks we can do it ourselves.
Oh my God!
I'm like, what? Yeah, she said, you know, rent an excavator.
Sure, yeah.
Dig the hole.
Backhoe, yeah.
I'm like, you know, it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, yeah. Just get a machine that blows out gunite.
Right. Exactly.
Put a whole bunch of rebar in it. Bend it around. No, listen, you can, certainly at some level, but you will have a pool that is a pool you built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's the distinction.
I wouldn't even put up a above ground pool by myself.
I know. I'd need help with that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me see. Oh, Steve, speaking of technology, building things, and the United States Air Force will have, coming out of aircraft in the Mojave Desert, four-legged robot dogs offering a possible preview into the future of warfare.
Yeah, man. You know where we stand on this Boston Dynamics stuff. These,
Oh, but hang on. These are actually, they're called the Advanced Battle Management System. Steve, they're not built by Boston Dynamics. They are actually
Bronco?
Built by a manufacturer called Ghost Robotics of Philadelphia.
Okay. All right, so maybe they listen, and maybe we can get our own Preston and Steve Kildon.
I'm hoping that's the case. So if you work for Ghost Robotics of Philadelphia, we want to come by. I want to see those things.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Our guests arrive. The elevator comes up to the fourth floor. They're greeted by two robot dogs.
I would love that.
Yeah. Then escort them to the door.
Scares the hell out of them. So here's the deal. They're going to have these exercises, these military exercises that are coming up.
Like hot yoga?
No, not like that kind of exercise.
Oh.
They're called the Advanced Battle Management System, and it's the military. It uses artificial intelligence and rapid data analytics to detect and counter threats to U.S. military assets in space and possible attacks to the U.S. homeland with missiles or other means. Now, Will Roper, the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, said on a future battlefield, soldiers will face a dizzying array of information to assess and will need to rely on data synthesis done in nanoseconds to fight effectively. And in fact, where was that? There's a chilling term that they use. I think they call it the kill chain.
Yeah, kill chain.
Yeah, that's that these things are a part of.
You know what? Now, so if I'm... To me, the way to baffle these things is with robotic cats.
Right. Or mice or something like that. Yeah. And scamper around.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, you look at this, and Preston, we're looking at one of the controllers. It's basically an Xbox controller.
Yeah, yeah, it's what it looks like. Yeah, right? Yeah. So they're going to do this at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada, and it says, the dogs give us visual of the area, all while keeping our defenders close to the aircraft. The dogs are called Vision 60 UGVs, or Autonomous Unmanned Ground Vehicles. It touts their ability to operate, or the Ghost Robotics touts their ability to operate in any terrain or environment while being adaptable to carry an array of sensors and radios on for a robot dog, or for a dog robot, a fairly simple platform.
So with this, and here's the thing that I think is the benefit of this. If you can eliminate putting people in harm's way, that's obviously
that's the benefit.
Of course, when they eventually become autonomous and want to kill us all, that's when it goes downhill.
That's the thing. I mean, they're designed right now to survey and reconnaissance and stuff like that. But you know they're going to strap guns on these things.
Well, the first time a serviceman pretends to throw a stick and doesn't, and the robot dog realizes it, that's when it all goes downhill.
I mean, these guys are located right in Grays Ferry, like right near University City.
What's the name of the company again?
Ghost Robotics.
If anybody knows anybody who works for Ghost Robotics, please have them get in touch with us.
They post these videos where you can see the skyline. You can see the like Comcast Center behind it. Maybe we can at least go to their offices and play with the dogs.
How awesome if we had our own Preston and Steve robotic kill dog.
Yes.
you know. That's what we'll use. We'll use one of these when Gary Lauer wants to visit.
Yeah. Dude, here's what we should do. We should have them program these.
Yeah.
Bring out a whole array of them to the Camp Out for Hunger and have them do the electric slide.
Yes.
At the same time.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
How cool would that be? The U.S. military of the future, they may be vital a component of what the Air Force release calls the kill chain.
You know, my there you go. I think if they could put something like a benign looking cute dog face on it.
Yeah. Right,
would make it a little bit, it looks like a headless dog, and that is chilling.
Yes, the appearance of it is freaky.
And it's insect-like.
And I got to believe that eventually
a big, lovable, like, whoo?
Yeah.
And they should all have Scooby-Doo heads.
I think they will sugarcoat it. Someday they will make it look a little bit more appealing to the average person.
Will that make it worse for the Taliban terrorist who gets the Scooby-Doo?
Right.
Boop. Ruh-roh.
They said we are exploring how to use ABMS to link sensors to shooters across all battle spaces. Yeah, shooters. At speed and under threat. Maturing these concepts and capabilities is necessary to fight and win in the information age. Our warfighters and combatant commands must fight at internet speeds to win, according to Air Force Chief of Staff General Charles Brown Jr.
So we're watching footage, and so the unit, the dog, the mechanical robotic dog, gets knocked over. And it gets knocked over. It reminds me of the scene in Terminator 2 when the Terminator just sort of reverses itself.
Yep.
So this thing's on its back and its legs basically invert and it lifts back up again.
Yeah. Not like whatever that was in RoboCop when it falls down the stairs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The microphone.
Why would you build it that way?
Starts having throwing a fit.
Yeah.
I can't put my arms down.
Steve, terrible movie, but it was with Val Kilmer. They go to Mars.
Red Planet.
Yeah.
And, it's actually not bad.
I didn't care for it. I'll put it that way. Anyway, so they have a robotic dog of type.
Yeah.
That becomes their nemesis, and they're kind of hunted by it. And it reminded me of something like
that. I think
this.
That's why, that movie and other movies like, and also Metalhead.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the episode of Black Mirror. Again, if you want to know why we are so mortified by these things, watch that episode.
Yeah. Marissa, there was a tweet text that said you can go by and visit anytime. Yeah, it says there at Penovations Building, corner of Grays Ferry and 34th. The building is a co-op, and you can visit anytime.
Look, it says special discounts for on-air personalities.
But the rule of ghost robotics is we don't talk about ghost robotics. Somebody also texted and said that.
Somebody said they work there and see them playing with them outside all the time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, good for them. At least it's local. Yay.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a break. We will return momentarily. And we got some more bizarre file stories we'll share, as well as A to Z. The Homeschool Edition continues. We're in the S's. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We're going to do the bizarre file. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's bizarre file.
All right, let's get to a couple of stories. We're going to start with this one. My God. A teenager was rushed to the hospital after a 4-foot-long python hiding in the toilet bit his penis, leaving blood spurting everywhere.
Did you see the picture of the toilet?
I did.
Yeah.
Syrafop.
I'm rolling.
You love the smell of your...
Nope, rolling.
Oh, my boy.
There we go.
Syrafop Mesicurit went to the bathroom when he felt a sudden searing pain in his manhood. He looked down, saw the python with its jaws clamped around the tip of his penis.
Oh, my God.
Syrafop said that he screamed in terror during the incident.
My ball!
This was in Thailand, by the way. He was rushed to a nearby hospital so his injuries could be treated. Doctors gave Syrafop 3 stitches in the glands at the tip of the penis and treated the bite wound with antibiotic wash to kill any bacteria from the python's fangs.
Thankfully, it was a smaller python, right?
Yes, it was. Well, it was 4 feet long, so it wasn't a giant one, but still.
Still, any python that bites your unit is a bad python.
And Syrafop said in a quote, "I hope that my penis can recover." Animal handlers arrived at the home and began searching for the snake, which was still coiled up in the toilet bowl.
I'm Syrafop's penis, and I hope I recover too.
They used snake catching equipment to snare the python. They put it in a sack before releasing it back into the woodland.
So how does the... I have never understood how a snake gains access...
Yeah, to the toilet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Japanese rescuers were searching this past Thursday for a livestock ship that a survivor said sank with 42 crew members aboard during rough water off a southern Japanese island. A crew member was rescued after the Japanese Navy surveillance aircraft spotted him wearing a life vest, waving while bobbing in the water. Steve, also, the ship was an 11-ton Gulf livestock ship, was carrying 5,800 cows in it. They went under as well, and of course,
it was an utter catastrophe.
Thank you. Yeah. It's the only reason I brought this story up. And I realized that we could use, for once, I realized it you was an utter catastrophe.
Yes, it was an utter catastrophe because of
now, people died, and that was horrible, but yes, a lot of cows did as well, and that was an utter catastrophe. A Lycoming County man has been sentenced 48 years to state prison for being drunk when his speeding pickup truck struck the back of a horse-drawn buggy. This is back in 2017, injuring six members of an Amish family. Christopher Whitney Cranmer was the man. He was charged with all kinds of stuff. The judge...
I think I remember this.
Judge Mark Lavecchio said that he would like to have imposed a longer sentence, but accepts a plea agreement because he recognized that the Amish likely would not participate in the trial. I guess it's not... They don't go to the trials. And the victim did not submit a victim impact statement that said he said would have given him insight into the severity of the injuries.
What's the mindset of the Amish community when it comes to things like this? Forgive and forget?
I don't really. It may be.
Yeah.
It may be. But it's interesting. What's interesting is what the judge said to him. So Lavecchio noted Cranmer has 10 adult convictions, 3 as a juvenile. He has parole revoked 3 times. Lavecchio said... Or he told Lavecchio had said, you don't have a clue what you've done to your life and to others. He said, if you continue your ways, you will die a horrible death. This was a 6th DUI conviction in Pennsylvania. And he says, the judge says he expects Cranmer to start drinking again when he gets out of prison. And he said, maybe you could do the community a favor, move to the wilderness somewhere and just drink yourself to death.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. He's in need of a liver transplant. And he said it was destroyed by medicine prescribed for colitis. But the need for a new liver is related to alcohol use, Lavecchio countered, pointing out that those with colitis are not allowed to drink. So
that's heavy duty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but he said, the judge is right. Yeah. Stop it.
Kentucky man accused of stealing a police canine had allegedly used Vienna sausages to lure the dog away from the deputy's property.
Oh, bastard.
Sheriff's deputy responded to a report of 26-year-old Brandon Harmon trespassing. He met with the suspect who asked for a ride so he could point out a weed trimmer that had been stolen.
Look it over there. It's a weed trimmer.
Upon their arrival, the deputy realized the weed trimmer was not the one in question.
Uh-huh.
Harmon then charged these...
This one had a mustache.
Harmon then changed the subject and asked the deputy if the sheriff's office knew what had happened to its canine that had been taken from a deputy's fenced-in property on August 8th. The canine had been found later that month after going missing. The deputy confronted Harmon about the canine's brief disappearance, at which Harmon admitted that he coaxed him out with Vienna sausages.
Where are the sausages?
So he was.
Why did he do that?
I don't know.
You said you'd bring me sausages.
He loved
it. I don't see no sausages. Yeah. I want sausages. Sausages are good. Sausages are good.
So Harmon was arrested and.
Sausages.
And charged.
I want sausages. I want.
Any chance to play the sausage?
Yeah.
He didn't say why he did it, and they don't know. He was sentenced and charged with theft by unlawful taking and second-degree criminal trespassing as well.
Felony use of a sausage.
The Vienna. My dad used to call them Vienna sausages.
Vienna sausages.
Yeah. That's how southern my family is. Vienna sausages, Dad. All right. Do we have to wrap it up now?
Yeah, you need to do one more.
Okay. One last story. North Yorkshire police in England say 80-year-old Harry Harvey was reported missing Sunday afternoon after becoming separated from his hiking partner in a national park. A 4-day search followed, but it was called off on Wednesday when a wildlife photographer spotted Harvey at a pub during a press a press conference planned by his family and rescuers to spread the word of his disappearance.
So he's in the pub where they're doing the public statement to get people to help look for him.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Harvey told reporters he got lost during a hailstorm and ended up camping out for 3 nights with equipment that he carried with him to hike.
Question, is there a reward for his discovery?
He was in good health and was not injured, but he was hungry.
That's great.
Yep, he was right there. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right. Casey's giving me this. I want to give it to you. I have a carload pass of up to four people for the Jurassic Quest.
Yeah.
And this is going to be, it's going on now through Sunday. So we'll set you up with these tickets now. Call number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. And it's this really cool thing at Wells Fargo Center. It's a drive-through exhibit, and they have like life-size, over 70 true-to-life-size dinosaurs. And you listen to some information that's broadcast on your radio, which is really cool. So give us a call, number 15. You get them. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Lesson question, trash, music news. Those are on the way.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
But we have something else to do. We're going to do today's lesson question. And we have a $50 Rita's gift card to give away for the correct answer to this question. It is Steve's neighbor's daughter is Rhiannon. What is her son's name? 215-263-WMMR. Steve's neighbor's daughter is Rhiannon. What is her son's name? If you were listening, then you have got to give us a call. 215-263-WMMR. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Let's get to the stories. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow will be returning for a second season of her Netflix docuseries, The Goop Lab. The show will be packaged with a new Amber Heard docuseries called The Poop Shoot.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Lindsay Lohan has started a new motivational business venture in the United Arab Emirates called Be Your Own Boss. Lohan says that as her own boss, she was thrilled to find out that there was no issue with working completely drunk. And finally, Carol Baskin letting slip that her first dance on Dancing with the Stars will be to the Survivor classic Eye of the Tiger. Producers say it was the most obvious choice, as there is no song called I Murdered My Husband. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, thank you, Steve. Let's see if we can indeed find the correct answer. And Steve's neighbor's daughter is Rhiannon. And what is her son's name? I will go to Chrissy to see if we can get the answer. Chrissy, good morning. Hi, you're on the air. Hi, I'm sorry. Hey.
She's talking to someone else.
I know. I want to hear what's going on. Hi, is this Chrissy? What's your name? Is this Christy?
Hello.
Speak to us. I want to find out who this is.
What is she doing?
Well, I don't know.
She doesn't know that she's
Chrissy.
On.
Hey, you on the phone right now. You're on the air. What's your name?
Come
on,
Chrissy.
Yay! Chrissy, I've been sitting here saying your name for the past 2 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can go your own way.
Sure. Who are you talking to, Chrissy, before you came out with us?
It's Chrissy. Okay.
Chrissy, who are you talking to? We heard it's you speaking
Chrissy.
To somebody.
It's Chrissy.
Okay.
Chrissy. Can you hold on. Yeah, yeah. Who were you talking to while we were on hold there?
My phone went out.
Okay. All right. Well, you need to get to Rita's, so we're going to give you a $50 gift certificate for Rita's. And it's summer is still on in full force at Rita's.
It's Chrissy.
Head to Rita's.
Chrissy?
All your favorite delicious frozen treats. It's the summer of yum at Rita's. This is Casey's Eagles fight song, by the way, if you remember this.
Yeah.
We'll hear a little bit of the chorus.
Yes.
perfectly placed.
Hey,
that's great.
That I was stunned to find out you were unaware that there was a game Sunday.
Yeah. Thank God we had that chick from Dunkin' on today to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I also have I'm a DD Perks member, so.
There you go.
I'm going to get a dollar medium coffee. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going hot or iced yet, but, you know, I'll make that decision on Sunday.
That's all right.
But, dude, who are they playing?
Yeah, I don't know. We should call that chick back and ask her.
Oh,
yeah.
That was Chrissy.
No.
Oh.
It's Chrissy.
Jessica. Jessica. Yeah. And by the way, so we're not playing the whole song because we're doing the A to Z. But we played a little bit of it. We squeezed it in there.
Yeah, actually, the full name of the song, we can play it next because it's called Southern Ready to Go.
No, it's not. So anyhow, Sunday it's happening. We got to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Some people are asking, find out if Chrissy was from Delco, please. People are wondering, conjecturing that maybe from Delaware.
I would venture to say Bucks go.
All right, we'll find out.
She's from Bristol. What are you talking about?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out in a moment.
She's actually your neighbor.
Hang on. Marissa's looking at Moose.
Pancake, come in here and tell us what town.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if Pancake's in there, that makes Bucks County.
What?
Jersey.
Jersey.
Chuck's neighbor.
You both win. Right?
Do I have a sponsor for music? Mm-hmm. We're good. Okay, so Marilyn Manson released a new single, Don't Chase the Dead, yesterday, one day in advance of today's We Are Chaos album release. The new 10-song project is the follow-up to Manson's 2017 Heaven Upside Down album. We Are Chaos was produced, by the way, by late Waylon Jennings' son, Shooter Jennings. It'll be interesting to see how that sounds.
That's cool.
Pantera's final album, Reinventing the Steel, turns 20 this year, and Celebrate Rhino will release the two new versions that feature an unreleased mix of the album by producer Terry Date. Reinventing the Steel 20th Anniversary Edition will include a 3-CD set that includes a newly remastered version of the original album and a selection of rarities, and it is due out on October 30th. Lars Ulrich revealed that Metallica actually jokes about who would portray them in a biopic. During a chat with Collider, the drummer was asked whom he would like to play him in a movie, to which he laughed and said, yeah, well, there'd need to be a 5'7" small balding guy. He said, I mean, we sort of joke about this all the time. We used to have kind of the standard answer back in the day just because you'd get asked that every 3 months in interviews. He said, James Spader would play me. The Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz would play James Hetfield.
That's actually good.
And we joke about how Carlos Santana would play Kirk Hammett.
I mean, I have I think Jason Segel would be a good Lars.
He's way too tall.
Yeah, I know.
But how about Lars Manute is really Bol? Short.
Yeah, I know. But they Manute can,
Manute
Bol. No, they could, you know, movie magic, trick photography and whatnot.
Okay.
Also, maybe like
Ian McKellen.
James McKellen, I think, could play James Hetfield. Yeah.
Who?
We're off to Never Never.
Well, it's very fantastic.
Yes, so, yeah.
He went on to say the question would beckon, what time period are we talking? Is it Metallica in their youthful times or now? There's so many incredibly talented people out there, and it's incredible how some actors can just transform. I think what Taron Egerton did as Elton John stands out as just being incredible casting and incredible fit.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
I think it's her. I think it's perfect. I forgot. I'm sorry. I stepped on your head. Coming October 30th are a clutch of 20th anniversary editions of U2's 2000 Grammy Award-winning album, All That You Can't Leave Behind. Billboard reported the release will feature a new 12-track remaster of the album with additional track The Ground Beneath Her Feet and a 51-track Super Deluxe box set. The band has just posted an acoustic version of Stuck in a Moment You Can't Get Out Of.
What was the album that they just gave to everybody?
Well, I'm looking at it right now, Steve, because I can't get it off of my friggin' phone. 6 years.
Yeah.
Songs of Innocence has been on my phone because it was a gift. I don't want it. I don't want it. And it's sitting. I don't want it. And it's just still sitting there. I don't know how to get rid of it.
It was actually a nice idea, but it blew back.
Yeah. It's a little intrusive.
Yeah.
And presumptive, too.
Yes.
So All That You Can't Leave Behind was released on November 17th. It featured 2000 is the year it came out, and featured such U2 classics as Beautiful Day, Stuck in a Moment You Can't Get Out Of.
Great song.
Elevation and Walk On. So there's some good stuff on there, and then we'll be doing that re-release.
And then one last thing, coming October 23rd is Bruce Springsteen's latest album with the E Street Band. It's called Letter to You. The 12-track collection is his 20th studio album and was recorded at his home studio in New Jersey. The set release coincides with the 40th anniversary of the Boss classic double album The River, which was released on October 17th, 1980.
Remember, that was a Christmas present that year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me get my double Bruce album.
And that is what I have for you in music news. We have a new Daily Rush video up. I don't think I hit this yesterday. It's called PNS Life Hacks, and it just says you learn stuff. So we'd realize some things and we'll pass them along to you. Watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. We're going to take a break. Last break. Come back, give away a Word of the Week prize. One more song from the A to Z for us, and then Pierre takes that over. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks as we do the A to Z. And I found that interesting that Southern Cross led right into Southern Man. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and then Neil Young on his own.
Yeah.
Right after that. Next, we're headed out into space with Pierre Robert for a stretch.
Ooh.
So a few things will be headed to space. As
he take us to space!
Yes! Somebody had pointed out that was played out of order today.
Yes, it was.
It was just slightly out of order.
It was for content.
Had to do a jump on it.
Earlier in the week, somebody was looking at the list, and in the middle of it, the Bob the Builder theme song popped up.
Seriously?
Yes.
We were talking about my bowl that I broke the other day, and sure enough, we had to play the theme song. That's funny. I didn't think about that, because some of those things that we will play do come up on, what do you call the thing?
RFF or RFA or RFU?
I had some like iTunes music thing or something. Right. I don't know, but it's on WMR.com if you go
no,
to
No, I
the...
meant when you're in your car.
The feed.
Oh, the RSS.
RSS. RSS. Right, there the you go. Luftwaffe.
That's the little thing that tells you what the song is.
That was the German Air Force.
I'm all over the place.
Okay. All right, so thank you to guest Jessica Weissman, who was on from Duncan, the field marketing manager, and they had this special deal on game days. You can get dollar medium hot or cold coffees. Not cold coffees, iced coffees, I should say. And, she gave us some giveaways, so we were happy to do that. Thank you, Jessica. And thank you to comedian Matthew Broussard.
Yes.
Who will be at Punchline in Philadelphia tonight and tomorrow. There are two shows each night. You want to get your tickets, you can do that by going to punchlinephilly.com. So it was cool to have them on. And enter Pierre Robert. I almost said in walks, but I wanted to go with the more theatrical. Enter Pierre Robert.
I like the theatrical.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, kids. Interesting, when you played Sour Girl and you talked about the festival at Y100, I had interviewed Scott and Dean maybe 6 months before that, maybe three, I don't know, a couple of months before that and gotten to know them. And I called Jim McGuinn and asked him if I could go backstage and just say a quick hi to them, which is why I was theoretically competing station, I don't know.
Yeah, at the time, yeah, sure.
But, I mean, I didn't look at it really that way
because
I always liked all of you guys, and I liked Y100 very much. And he was kind enough to say, yeah. And so I was in the room when you did the interview, but I also was in the room when they played Sour Girl. You thought I had left, but I was the one who gave Eric Kretz the keys.
Oh, he was playing your keys.
Ah,
okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Great experience. Great memory, right?
It was a great memory because they're getting ready to do it. And he goes, does anyone have any keys?
Mm-hmm.
And I patted my both pockets. And indeed, I did. And I handed him my keys. And he jangled my keys. So I would love to hear that version.
I got to find it.
A great version of just Scott and Dean doing it here in our studios. which is a really soulful version. He had just gotten out of rehab a couple of weeks before, was doing really strong, really happy. And that was the extension of that tour when they did the festival.
And I realized I'd told a part of it incorrectly when Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind popped in and kind of sabotaged the interview for just a moment. I'd said that Dean had called him Sonny Boy. It was actually Robert.
Oh, really?
Had called, yeah, he's like, okay, thank you, Sonny Boy. You can go now or something like that.
Wow.
And it was this interesting little tense moment.
Yeah, it's fun to see arguments with rock stars.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Shall we do the letter?
I'm thinking.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
O, as in operation.
All right, now I never do this. First caller.
What?
Oh!
Oh,
yeah. I said it.
Oh.
215-263-WMMR. First
what
caller. You get a chance to win the Word of the Week prize. So do that now. Give us a call right now. What's up today? You got the A to Z, obviously.
The A to Z will continue. We've got, as you mentioned, space songs. One of my theme songs will take us out of this break shortly. And then we've got songs ranging from Monster Magnet to David Bowie. Everyone knows what that one's going to be, to Deep Purple. And then we get to some speaking and some speeding and some spiders and some spirits. And on we go.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
Excellent. It's yeah. Great. When do you, so pick a time you think it ends.
That's good question, because the S has been long. I kicked off the S category, I think, around noon yesterday.
Yeah.
12:31, I don't know. So S has gone a long time.
Is it Monday?
I think it's going to go longer.
Okay. I would not, as they say, be mad at that.
I wouldn't be mad at it either, but I don't know. And I start vacation on Monday, so I want to be here when it ends, but
we'll get back to your vacation days.
Okay, I'll just do that. I actually already did that.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So, but yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, and I remember the very first one, it went 2-something weeks, and the second one went almost 3 weeks. You know, we've tailored it a little bit.
Hey, how long ago did that start? When was that first or second one?
It was at 5th and Market. We were downtown by the Liberty Bell, and Joe Bonadonna came in, and he was our program director, and said, this idea of doing an A to Z, and you'd heard of band A to Z's, like a
right.
Beatle A to Z or
uh-huh.
Rolling Stones A to Z, stuff like that. And I said, "Is like in order of bands?" He goes, "No, in order of song title." And I go, "That's interesting." And it was amazing. But we didn't have a computer to load all the songs in, so each song had to be loaded individually on CD or on vinyl, depending. And it was great fun. Great fun.
But do you remember when that would have been?
Oh, sorry. 92 to 93, 93, 94,
okay.
Somewhere between 92 and 95.
It's funny because the norm used to be, and we talk about it, Preston, the standard thing would be that the top 500, the top 200, the top 100 songs. Or,
yeah.
And it would always end up with Stairway to Heaven at number one and blah, right. You know, standard stuff. I mean, we're talking thousands of songs
right.
Here. It's
yep.
Just a vast difference.
I remember doing the morning show, and Supper's Ready had come up from Genesis, which
yeah.
Is 20 minutes long. It's not exactly what you call a morning show song.
It's right. One of my favorite songs. I love it.
And it, and I think I ran it between 10 minutes to the hour and 10 minutes after the hour. It just was the only feature during that particular time.
That's great.
So who knows?
All right, I'm going to see if we do indeed have a winner. I'm going to go to Jim for the Word of the Week. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Jim, what's our Word of the Week, bud?
Hero.
Great day in the morning!
The day that we remember them. Absolutely correct. Yep. And so we are going to set you up, my man. We have a Pie Zeke round barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block.
Did you ever
this block, you can start imagining your own backyard paradise by looking at the photo gallery online at landisbc.com. All right, Jim, hang on, buddy.
Thanks.
All right,
welcome.
All right, there you go.
Oh, my God!
I didn't ask him what he thought about it, but I'm sure that would have been his reaction.
He would have been embarrassed because he'd have gotten too emotional.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Chrissy was in the room and she's handling
it. She was there.
All right, I'm going to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme Markets, Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, and also Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Next week, Case, anything
lots
you want to
stuff,
mention?
Man. Okay. Yeah, just, come on, man. Great guests and great features and great times, and it'll be glorious.
I think I might officially get my head out of my ass next week.
Casey normally writes down a list of guests and things that we have coming up next week.
We're going to talk to Brewer.
Yes, that's right.
Brewer and Shipley.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes. Kathy's.
One toke over the line.
Sweet Jesus.
Your fall activities, are we going to get those next week?
We are going to get those next week.
Yeah, okay, cool. And all that stuff.
All right, so we'll have plenty for you, trust me. That's it. We are done. Ray John, have yourself a great weekend, and we will see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
You got to get over this COVID-19, brother, and start hanging out with my main man, Charlie Sheen. We got tiger's blood, brother. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Next message.
Dude, Slayer, first time caller. Used to listen to a different station. Moved. Now I listen to this, and it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. A.
Next message.
Hey, why are there so many accidents on Friday? It seems like there's twice as many as any other day. You know, you might say, go sad, bro. I say, go accidents, bro. It's Friday.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.